Hey, what's poppin', everybody? It's the Drew and Mike podcast, live from Ferndale, recording at a very late hour due to the presidential debate number one. Mm-hmm. Got the skeleton crew. Mark's here, all the way from Berkeley. Jay, commuting from Plymouth. I'm Drew in Ferndale on my home court as the Drew and Mike podcast rocks it on debate night. And, of course, we will be all over the debate momentarily, but there have been some major developments. One major development within the show I'm so excited about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to get to that momentarily. And then right after that, and we'll get to debate quickly, I promise. I want you to hear Corey Feldman's...
Oh, I'm in. I don't care what... Deal me in! I don't care what it is, I'm in.
Anything I know. I felt the same way when I saw it. I didn't even know what he said, but...
Feldman 2016.
One of the angels, you know, the girls in the band.
Oh, you mean the Feld Angels?
Yes.
What they call them?
From the Today Show performance, which was so hideous. There were rumors they were going to come back and play again or talk again. Is anything more come of that?
Well, they allegedly offered him to come back on. I don't know if he did.
I don't think he has. I just thought maybe that was coming, yeah. But I haven't seen anything about it. Anyway, Corey, one of the angels, did not show up for the Today Show. She didn't fly to New York.
Would she choke?
I think she, well, actually, truthfully, she said that when they were rehearsing for the gig,
yeah,
that she became very distracted by Corey's dancing.
No.
I swear to God, is what she said.
Wow, man, she hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Good move, honey.
She didn't come right out and say how stupid it was, but she said it was distracting.
It was incredibly distracting.
But first, the incredible development. We have added something to the repertoire here that I am so excited about. I thought we must lead the show off with this.
Thanks for calling Hitters. This is Kay. How can I help you?
How are you?
Good.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
Get to know me?
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
You son of a bitch.
What?
Stop whining.
Stop whining?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop whining? What are you talking about?
Who are you?
I'm someone that works at this restaurant.
You lack discipline.
What?
You lack discipline.
Do I like discipline?
Yes.
You need to call a different line. This is Hooters. You don't call here talking like that.
Don't call Hooters talking like that. I caught something new in it.
What?
I probably heard that, 15,000 times?
Uh-huh.
I never caught her other laugh at the end of the one statement when she just goes, I forget what the statement was, but she just ends it with a, heh.
Yeah, it was a real light one. The ending, the ending sounded weird to me. Was there a hang-up that was on there before?
I'm sure it was edited from where we got it from, so now I can't remember how the first one originally ended.
I thought there was like the phone hit something.
That's
something.
Exactly how we've always played it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's always kind of faded out like that.
Anyway, I know it's really silly, but I just was so excited to hear it.
Oh, it was awesome.
Jay was putzing around with the Arnold drops, which are also, we got some of those in the system now, don't we?
Okay. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Hmm.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
The only one we really need is, I hope you leave enough room on for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
Stop it!
Oh, yeah, stop it's a great one.
Stop whining.
Stop whining. And then who's your daddy and what does he do?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Yes.
Who is your daddy?
Yeah.
What does he do?
Yeah.
I love those. God, every time I see that movie, and when I see the movie just pops on cable, I get so pumped up just to hear the drops.
Kindergarten
you
cop.
Son of a bitch.
How ridiculous. But anyway, a nice start to the program.
That's good.
For sure.
It's a good, happy way to start.
And then the Corey Feldman thing, I thought since we're in the world of a little production, we should certainly get Corey out there and hear how upset he was, how disappointed, and perhaps this explains the poor performance by Corey and the Angels. Check this out.
Crystal, it's Corey. I'm wanting to believe that this is a joke. You got to be joking, right? This isn't real. Like, no human being on this earth would be selfish enough and egotistical enough and fucked up in the head enough to fuck friends over like this at the last minute. Like, you know that I spent real money and you know that I'm struggling and you know how hard it has been to get to this point. And like, no person would do this to another group of people that they call friends, unless you're like a soulless, careless, inhumane fucking piece of shit. Whoa. So I really hope, for all fucking practical purposes, that this is a fucking elaborate joke, and that you're going to call and say that this was all a joke, or you were just playing, or something. Because if I don't fucking hear from you, girl, your name is fucking Mud. Let me tell you, don't even bother coming back to L.A., because you'll never get another gig in that fucking town. Ever. Like, I will fucking make sure everybody knows what a piece of shit you are.
Kitty,
cool piece.
You don't have that much power, Feldman.
I love the style, though. He will make sure everyone knows what a piece of shit she is.
Is he blaming the failure of the Today Show on that?
No, I haven't heard that.
I know. My mind was just in a totally different place.
Yeah, one of the angels wasn't there. It was totally weird after all that rehearsing. Yeah, hey, what power he must have to be able to make certain that you'll never work in L.A. again.
The sad thing is I don't think Feldman's ever going to work in L.A. again. or any of the other angels.
He gets, doesn't he get like D movies that go straight to video once in a while?
Does he? I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I saw him in a really bad movie. I think it was like 2014.
Really?
Not too long ago.
See, Corey, let's look this up. This could be really good.
Net worth $2 million.
The best.
Does that include the Feld Mansion?
Probably.
I would imagine it does.
Feldman, by the way, all these could be really funny. Let's see. The most recent thing in his filmography is he's got two things from 2015. Oh, a couple things from 2015. Okay.
Celebrity Wife Swap.
Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. Here's the worst part about it. He was actually playing a character, so he wasn't even playing himself like most people on Sharknado were.
He might have had multiple lines, though, as a character.
Alexander. I don't remember Alexander in that. In 2015, he was in the video game Minecraft Story Mode. He did a voiceover.
Does it have Celebrity Wife Swap in there?
TV? I don't see Celebrity Wife Swap. Turbo Fast 2015.
Cool. Great movie.
That is a Netflix original series.
Oh, series.
Animated web television series.
Voiceover work.
Yeah. And that's it.
Okay. Anything 2014 of intrigue?
2012,
2015. I mean, on the Celebrity Net Worth thing, it says he was on Celebrity Wife Swap in 2015. I don't remember seeing that, though.
I don't see it. It's not on this. I'm just looking on Wikipedia, not his IMDb. I could look at his IMDb.
Well, we know things are pretty bad when he was trying to charge people to attend parties at the Feld Mansion.
That was bad.
Based on all the ass that he claimed to have at his house. You know, it was one of these things he was advertising as a chance to see how a real Hollywood party looks.
Oh, God.
With beautiful women.
What, is he going to show a video while you're there of what a real party looks like? Yeah, it's maybe not going to be that party.
Well, the clips that they had online of the party, it looked so grim. Oh, my God, was it pathetic. I don't think I saw a room with more than seven people in it.
I'm sorry.
I know. I mean, how sad. And I'm sure I can just see how, I could just imagine how excited he was coming up with the concept.
Now, this has way more credits in it. So he's got a couple things. Job's Daughter, that's, he's playing Agent Barnes and Job's Daughter.
Ooh.
That is a movie that says a troubled teenager walks into a grocery store carrying an assault rifle, killing many people. An investigation is held to answer questions as to why the teenager did this. How did a minor teenager get his hands on all those assault weapons?
Well,
starring Doris Roberts.
Doris Roberts, really? Doris Roberts stooped to that?
Yeah, Drew, he's not even like one of the top 15 names.
Ah, boy.
He's probably a shopper in the store, and it's just because he happened to be at the store that day.
Is he down to like getting good extra gigs?
Maybe.
Where he's visible?
Let's see. He's in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a TV series.
Yeah, there's a lot on here, IMDb, for 2015. All that. I don't want to go through all his credits. They're so loserish.
Except for Intrusion, Disconnected, coming out in 2017. Nearly a year after the events of Intrusion, the mysterious death of the Rosebud Killer leaves questions unresolved.
Well, all right. And he's a powerful man, as you heard on that voicemail.
Did you hear the story behind the voicemail, though, what she said about it? The guitarist, Crystal Cayley?
What she said about the voicemail?
Yeah, well, the whole story about the experience of playing with him, besides what you told us about
Well, I read some of it, yeah. That was the thing that stuck with me was the distraction.
She lives in Las Vegas, says Feldman did not offer to pay her.
Oh, yeah, he only paid for meals, but then he only eats once a day.
She had to use a roommate's air miles to pay for a plane to L.A. to rehearse. Once there, Feldman offered to pay for meals, but he only eats once a day. He did, however, pay for an airline ticket to New York.
Right, for the Today Show, which probably the Today Show paid for.
Yeah. Let's see. She met Feldman in 2015, played a show with him. She says the organizer offered her a room, but Feldman insisted she stay with him.
Oh.
And his mangel, DJ Courtney Ann Mitchell, in case they needed to rehearse, quote unquote. Kylie said, I got the impression that Corey was wanting to lead it into a sexual direction. But he didn't say anything outright. No one was disrobing. Jeez, buzzkill.
Wow. Well, things are looking grim for Corey Feldman. That's a bummer. Things have not changed since yesterday in that regard. Now, on to the debate. And one of the great disappointments, I think, as far as the debate goes. Let's see, where's my remote?
Oh, here you go. I'm sorry.
There was an expectation that some really cool people would show up, like maybe Jennifer Flowers.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were waiting for Flowers, right?
Yeah, I guess I think Trump decided that was not cool. Trump tried, I think he tried to show some rational behavior in this thing, which is hard for him to do. But there was somebody else who was dying to be there, though. Check this out.
Who is it?
Jones is speaking exclusively to Inside Edition about Donald Trump's threat to invite Bill Clinton's former lover, Jennifer Flowers, to Monday night's debate.
Me and maybe the other women can set up there and make Hillary a little bit nervous.
You remember that Jones had an encounter with Bill Clinton when she claimed he exposed himself to her in a hotel room in 1991 when he was governor of Arkansas.
Why not? What have we done wrong as Americans? Why couldn't we be there and sit and watch Hillary speak? Her husband...
Because you're a distraction.
Mistreated us, women, so why wouldn't we be allowed to be there? I'm no
And Jennifer Flowers, of course, is the lounge singer who says she...
Look at that performance. I actually thought Jennifer Flowers was cute.
Not bad looking
at one
there.
Time. Yeah, she's pretty
There's
hot.
Cubes.
I bet you Jennifer Flowers... I bet you she's a player in bed.
Oh, really? You think so?
I think so. I really do. I think she could put on a show.
Well, Bill was, rock for that for a long time.
Oh, definitely. He wouldn't hang with anything as long as he hung with her. I mean, that was the whole jogging. Yeah, I'm going jogging.
Tell
the warden I'll be back in a couple hours. We're going for a long jog. And then he would go jog like two blocks, and then he'd get in the car, and the troopers would drive her to Flower's apartment. He'd bang her for an hour. They'd pick him up. He'd get back in the car, and he'd jog like two blocks back to the mansion. And... I don't understand. I'm not losing any weight. I mean, I'm running like 4 miles a day now.
Did you see Jennifer Flowers today? She looks totally different.
No, like, I didn't see it. Did it just go by?
They had a shot of her Twitter page, so it had her Twitter handle. Her avatar was up there.
Well, it's been 20 years, really, when you think about it.
No, but she looks bizarre. Like, you can tell she blew by it. But she had her lips done. Her hair is platinum white, not even blonde. It's just white, but not gray.
I'm going to decide if this is an improvement. Am I close?
I don't think, it's right here.
Oh, my God, that's weird.
It's not an improvement.
Yeah, I mean, this. Can she not open her eyes? Is the Botox that overdone that she can no longer open her eyes?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, the lips are huge. So no Paula Jones, no Jennifer Flowers, as I think Trump actually went into this thinking he was going to show that he can be polite. The line about 14 minutes in when he said, Secretary Clinton, is Secretary okay?
Oh, how fake. How phony.
That was funny, I thought. Usually he just calls people by their first names.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they
nickname,
have
name like Crooked Hillary or Lion Ted or
but in the
Little
debates,
Marco.
In the debates, he tended to call people... I guess you would technically, would you say Governor Bush to Jeb Bush? Is that how most people would address him?
Uh-huh.
Which I think is kind of stupid. He hasn't been governor for a while. Why would you still call him governor?
Well, you would still call Carter President Carter.
Well, president, that's pretty intense. I guess.
So if you meet Granholm, you're not going to call her Governor Granholm?
I would not want to.
I'm just kidding. I don't think anybody would want to.
I think I'd just say.
I think it's just a sign of respect for what they've achieved.
Right. And that was his way of, you know, acting like he was being, you know, real familiar on first name basis. But the truth of it is he wasn't crediting them for for their achievements mm-hmm. by not calling him Governor Jeb, Governor Bush. And then I thought really at the end of the debate, we should just probably play that part when
the very end. Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting kind of ugly. Hillary is talking about the way he treats women.
Overall, who do you think won?
Oh, I thought Hillary won.
I did
clear,
too.
Clear as a bell.
I thought he came out pretty strong. I mean, NAFTA's a clear winner. Anybody that preaches about how bad NAFTA is, and he really hit her hard on that. He also talked about how he jobs and bring. I mean, that's his key, right? I bring jobs back, period, even though...
Yeah, I create jobs. I'm a businessman. I'm a negotiator.
Even though the way he was going to bring jobs back were by grounding companies and not letting him leave, which is kind of a silly way to bring jobs back. But once she started hitting him on the tax return, he started going downhill, man.
Yeah, I thought it was really maybe even before that, to be honest.
That was about, I don't know, that was about 25 minutes in. Wasn't it?
Let's see where we are. Yeah, you're probably right.
But she had some lousy. She had some. Under the Bush administration, she had some lousy lines early on. The one right off the bat was, "I call it trumped up, trickle down," and it landed with a thud. She loved that line, and boy, did it sound stupid.
But it wasn't enough.
When is she going to learn not to use his name in slogans?
Putting together.
I know, it's so stupid.
A coalition that included Russia and China to impose.
Am I to go back too far?
I'll tell you exactly what time. You want to go to 10:33, and my man Lester, who
I'm at 10:33.
You're at
10:25 now.
I thought Lester did a pretty good job, but I think you're going to hear that
he never, audio Jay.
He never attacked Hillary.
So I just want to give a lot of things, and just to respond, I agree with her on one thing: the single greatest problem the world has is
you're still about
nuclear armament.
Off.
Nuclear
8 minutes off, then my clock is off.
It says eight. Well, you know me and my times. Now you're at 127, 128, 129, 130, 31, 32. There it is.
Just let her respond.
Well, as soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates
her stamina, yes.
A good answer.
Peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents and opening of new.
Well, it's an obvious answer, though, but, you know, she looked feeble.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
I'm saying it's a good answer, though, because she's using the question about stamina to basically lay out her resume and what she did.
Sure. You know what?
Which is a clear strength for her.
I thought one thing that might happen here, and I'm trying to think, if I were Donald Trump, what would I say? I think I would probably suggest, although he wasn't really being questioned so much, but just, I mean, he must have traveled all these countries, wouldn't you think, through his business?
Well, isn't the crux and the foundation of him running for president based on, I make deals.
Yeah, I'm a businessman. I'm a successful business person.
However you want to feel, if that's ludicrous or that's why you like him, that's the whole crux of it. I make deals. So
and
that's
I owe nothing to anyone.
That's what he should have said. But instead, he comes back with a pretty lousy comeback.
Opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee. He can talk to me about stamina.
At this point.
Time out.
The world.
She brings that up, right?
Yeah.
She's clearly talking about Benghazi.
Yeah.
It's the one thing he did not bring up this whole debate.
Well, it was wide open. Bang. Why didn't he go? Why didn't he just jump it? By the way, those 11 hours.
There were two or three times he could have brought up Benghazi, and he never brought it up tonight. And that's one big reason why I think she won.
Well, I wondered, because he was sniffing so much.
That was so cool.
I wondered if he was sick, because
I think
he did
sick.
Not seem to be on his game.
No, I think he's the amount of water he was drinking.
Maybe he was on his game at the beginning. He was able to suck it up. But I thought as time went on, he was weary. He was repeating himself. And
sniffing was bizarre, though.
It was a little weird.
So much so that Howard Dean actually accused him on Twitter of doing blow.
Are you kidding?
I find the tweet.
That's pretty insane.
Notice Trump sniffling all the time. Coke user? Question mark.
Well, I'm sure Howard Dean is probably not any. I doubt he has much going on with Donald Trump. He probably despises him.
Of course
him,
not.
So,
and I don't think he's not doing anything anymore, right?
That's still a pretty nasty shot.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump is a blow user. I don't think so. I mean, I'd be surprised. Well, I guess nothing surprising.
He probably was at one time.
Let me tell you. Hillary has experience, but it's bad experience. We have made so many bad deals during the last...
That's a weak
comeback. She's got experience, that I agree, but it's bad, bad experience. Whether it's the Iran deal that you're so in love with, where we gave them $150 billion back, whether it's the Iran deal, whether it's...
Wait, wasn't it $4 billion?
To Iran, I thought it was $1.5 billion. We gave him $400 million.
Oh, $400 million and $1.5 billion.
Cash, but $1.5 billion.
He said $400 billion, didn't he?
Oh, I know. He was totally wrong. But numbers have never really meant much to him.
Jeez.
Anything you could name, you almost can't name a good deal. I agree. She's got experience, but it's bad experience. And this country can't afford to have another 4 years of that kind of experience.
We are at the...
No, see, honestly, if he wanted to, he could have said, you have experience with lying about Benghazi. You have experience about hiding your email. I mean, there's so many things he could have hit. But well, to say, I agree, but it's bad, is a weak, weak answer.
There were a number... Well, it didn't have anything to do with stamina either. He was terrible about answering the questions. It's like, you know, and that drives me crazy in a debate. It's like, answer the fucking question. And if you're going to go off on something, go off after you answer the question. Because usually the question isn't that hard to answer.
Do you think maybe he doesn't know the answers to some of them?
I think like a lot of these people, they decide what they want to say before the debate even starts. And they just sort of fill in the what they want to say with the question that maybe is closest to it.
Well, he ragged her for preparing for the debate.
Well, because I think that was his way of saying, I was on the campaign trail busting my ass. I don't have to prepare. I know my material.
Okay, but I don't care how much you know about something. You might want to prepare. I think preparation goes a long way.
But he did prepare for the debate. I mean, wasn't he preparing over the weekend?
I know, but he's ragging her for preparing. I mean, he's proposing the issue, what you said.
I think what he was trying to do was draw attention to the fact that she was off the campaign trail because she was sick. I think that's what he's trying to
fine.
Do. That's my guess.
I just think it's odd you're ragging someone to prepare. I mean, I know a lot about Michigan football, but I still take notes on it.
But I think he's implying that she doesn't know what she's talking about, so she needs to prepare. She needs to cram. I'm just telling you what I think.
Okay. I think that's a weird thing to say. I would want a president.
He was out there, you know, in making 4 or 5 appearances a day, and she was sitting around with a bunch of people pretending to be Donald Trump. And I think he was saying that that's nothing noble.
Okay. Well, I disagree. I'm just guessing. If that's what he thinks, I disagree with that.
Well, to not properly prepare for a debate is not time well spent. I mean, he's probably, I don't know, I think he
kind
gets
of my
off.
Point. Yeah.
Personally, I think he gets off on these appearances. I think they energize him. I think he thinks... if he was ever down about the polls or anything like that, I think an appearance is what brings him back. He just sees all these people going crazy for him, and it makes him feel good.
All right, I'll shut up. Sorry.
They don't want a woman that sits at home at 3 o'clock in the morning and she's sleeping.
That's okay.
I didn't know what was going on. I thought, God, this sounds off a little bit here.
All right, so he said it's all about bad experience.
Looks to stamina. But this is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs. And someone who has said pregnancy is an inconvenience to employers. Who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men.
He is absolutely on video saying that about women. It was when they did a story on, who's the chick that did The Apprentice with him? When George was on there, George and...
Oh, yeah, the blonde.
I can't remember her name, but she got pregnant, and then there was a little piece on her. And he said, pregnancy is good for women. Pregnancy is good for men. As an employer, pregnancy is not good for an employer.
Well,
but that's just a flat-out lie.
But wait a second. Pregnancy, why would pregnancy be good for an employer?
That's fine. He's just saying he didn't say it when he did.
Yeah. I don't even know why he's shying away from it. It's not good for an employer. I don't know. Well,
he just said he didn't say it, but he clearly has. He's on tape.
Can we find the tape, by the way? That'd
sure.
be kind of funny.
That's what I find mystifying about him, is that he just says he didn't
say
things.
And one of the
did.
Worst things he said...
Well, he's not the first.
Yeah.
...was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Her name is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good. Let me just tell you.
Mr. Trump, can we just take 10 seconds, and then we're going to have the final question.
Hillary is hitting me with tremendous commercials. Some of it said in entertainment. Some of it said somebody who's been very vicious to me, Rosie O'Donnell. I said very tough things to her, and I think everybody would agree that she deserves it, and nobody feels sorry for her. But you want to know the truth? I was going to say something extremely rough to Hillary, to her family, and I said to myself, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's inappropriate. It's not nice. But she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on negative ads on me, many of which are absolutely untrue. They're untrue, and they're misrepresentations. And I will tell you this, Lester, it's not nice, and I don't deserve that. But it's certainly not a nice thing that she's done. It's hundreds of millions of ads, and the only gratifying thing is I saw the polls come in today, and with all of that money, over $200 million is spent, and I'm either winning or tied, and I've spent practically nothing.
One of you will not win this election. So my final question to you tonight, are you willing to accept the outcome?
This is a stupid assessment.
Yeah.
I think we have it. I think
we have it. Okay.
Right. Well, you know, pregnancy is never, it's a wonderful thing for the woman. It's a wonderful thing for the husband. It's certainly an inconvenience for a business. And whether people want to say that or not,
I don't know why he would deny saying
it's an inconvenience for.
Of course, it's an inconvenience.
A person that is running a business.
Then he should.
It's an inconvenience to a working person.
Yeah, he should explain it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just stupid
to do a flat out denial, because that's all anybody's going to focus on. Then is that he's denying something he said.
I also think, to be honest, I'm not sure why it's worth her time to bring up that comment, because when would a pregnancy not be an inconvenience to a business?
Well,
of course it's an inconvenience.
I think you bring it up because it makes you sound like you're being very insensitive towards pregnant women when he's supposed to make this plan for.
Well, if he said, I don't hire pregnant women, or I don't hire women who I think are going to have babies because it's an inconvenience.
That's illegal.
Different. But if you just said, of course. But if you just said it's an inconvenience to a business, of course. Why? When would it not be an inconvenience to a business? She's going to be out 6 weeks minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why he would deny it, and I'm not even sure why she would bring it up unless she's trying to suggest there's more to it.
Well, you know why she's bringing it up, because it sounds on the surface bad, and nobody's going to sit and think about it.
The one thing that was said in this thing that drew laughs was he suggested he has a better temperament than her.
Yeah.
And as much as I've read about Hillary Clinton, I don't disagree with him at all. She is the nastiest bitch to... It doesn't really matter who it is. If Secret Service people. I mean, the Secret Service guy that wrote the book talks about, good morning, first lady, whatever they call her. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think.
Who does that?
Oh, I know. I don't think anybody would deny that.
But that comment drew laughs, and I can understand why it drew laughs, because, I mean, all people have talked about the last 6 weeks is does he have the temperament? He doesn't have the temperament to be a president.
Do you think maybe it's... is there a difference between public and private temperament?
Your private temperament is probably more your real temperament.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, you got to show some respect to the people you need to make all these great deals with, don't you think? She's clearly a rough person who thinks she's preordained to be president.
Yeah, and the other thing about this last piece where he said, I was going to say something, it'd be horrible. Why didn't he say it? She basically brought out this stuff, the Rosie O'Donnell stuff and a couple other things. Why, at that point, is it not absolutely appropriate to say, you're married to a guy who's been accused of sexually assaulting four women. You're the one that says sexual assault victims need to be heard.
Yep.
What do you think about that? Have you heard these women?
No, he seemed to have a lot of missed opportunities with that. Between Benghazi and that, he dropped the ball. And maybe he did get burned out at the end. I think he is sick because the sniffling was just terrible.
He seemed off. I just didn't think it was a good performance for him, even. And I don't think he'd be the greatest debater necessarily. I would certainly expect
her. He is. I mean, he acts like he is.
He's pretty good on his feet.
Remember that interview with ABC and Muir asks her about.
Well, he
that?
Says black people would like him more than black people love him. He says a lot of things. But I think in the Republican debates, he certainly made up a lot of ground in those.
Oh, he clearly did. That's what got him to this yeah. point. I was dying when he kept talking about cyber as a noun.
That was one of the worst questions. I just assumed he didn't have an answer to that question.
Well, it sounds like he's never even been on a computer in his life.
Well, who knows? I wonder how much he is on a computer. I mean, do we really know? How much is she on a computer?
She's tweeting like a madman.
That's true.
We know she emails like a madwoman.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think they'd be on computers a lot, especially in those jobs that they do. You would have to. But for him to then say that, this is what my other concern with him always is like, what are these ties to Russia? Because for him to act like, well, we don't know if it was Russia who broke into the DNC. It's pretty been well established. What's that group called? What Bear? Jay, do you know? The hack?
There's a few of them. There's a Cute Bear.
Yeah. They all have Russian ties. So what does he gain by saying, well, we don't know if it's Russia. It's some 400-pound guy sitting on his bed.
I have no idea. And honestly, I so spaced out during that whole question. Oh,
I was dying.
Through me.
When he's like, I have a son who's 10 years old. He's great at computers. He sounds like a
really
grandpa.
Strange answer.
He's talking about his 10-year-old son. He's amazed at cyber, which, okay.
Fancy Bear,
that's the one, yeah.
There's a few of them.
Why does she call Bill Clinton my husband?
Wow.
Does that sound strange when she says that?
Well, yeah, because they're not the typical husband-wife relationship.
I wonder who has a better marriage, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton or John Conyers and Monica Conyers? That'd be a tough
one. Well, I think Bill and Hillary probably see each other more only because there's more cameras around them.
What kind of a first man would Bill Clinton be? I cannot picture that.
He was so hard when he got to meet Melania and Ivanka back to back in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked really happy, didn't he?
you know what didn't hit me as they were meeting each other and shaking hands? Is that those are the two people that are going to be the first spouse.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that just didn't hit me. It's like, oh, that's Bill Clinton, former president. That's Trump's hot piece of ass.
Damn right.
So, in other words, as far apart as Trump... Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are, Bill Clinton and Melania Trump are even worlds apart. Well, the only thing of interest they have with each other would probably be Bill's dick.
I wonder, with her as president, you know, and we talked about this a little bit, the fact that when they were running and she kept saying, two for the price of one.
Yeah.
Which, looking back on it, I'm amazed that the public didn't respond more to that. Like, what are you talking about? Who is running here? Are you running? Is he running? You're both running? How do you make decisions? You both make the decisions? Who's the president here? Every time I've seen it said, though, he doesn't say it. She says it.
Yeah.
And now that she's running, all of a sudden it's not two for one, even though he was the president for 8 years. You would think that having him as your husband would be a gigantic asset. So why does she back off of that?
I don't know. Because it's all hers, Drew. Oh, no.
I expect you're right.
I still don't believe that Bill wants her to be doing this. But I think it's some weird agreement they met in 1971.
I don't think they had any agreement about that.
No, that I'll be president and then you can have your turn.
I'm sure at some point in time, probably when he became president, I'm sure that she starts saying, you know, you can only be in two terms, and I'm going to be president, too. So when you're done, I'm going to run eventually, all right?
Yeah, well, that's another reason.
I'm going to send her to New York, and then I'm going to run.
I was going to say, I think that's why people really, another reason they really don't like her is because that was so calculated. I'm going to move to New York, be a carpetbagger, and run for Senate and win.
Disgusting, and she lucked out because her opponent dropped out of the race. Remember?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a pretty good race.
Yeah, I forget who that was.
I can't even remember why. But, as I watch Bill, the balloons coming down, and Bill Clinton amazed at the balloons.
you know where I thought Trump really hammered her, though?
Where?
The whole Obama stuff.
Yeah, that was, you know what, though?
Because he was losing bad about the whole birther issue, which is stupid for him to even fight that.
There's a problem with the Obama stuff when he was talking about, was he wrong to sign that? You know what he was saying when he kept repeating that? Was he wrong? Was Obama wrong? You know, and she wouldn't answer him.
When he signed, well, what was it the TPP? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I believe it was. Wait a second.
That was early when he had the big lead.
I'm just looking at my notes
here. It must have been, Drew. because I think that's when he really, really hammered
it. And he was talking over her and I think even the moderator. But I thought, you know, when you see them on a screen right next to each other, I thought he looked overbearing, and it was it just had the appearance of someone who has no manners, even though, you know, it's a debate and they're actually not next to each other.
Yeah.
And she, but her being a woman and them looking on the screen like they're right next to each other, I thought it made what might be,
you know,
him trying to make a good point. I think it makes it more difficult.
You know what part of that might be? If you watch it again, notice where her microphone is and where his microphone is. Now, first off, he's got a taller podium because he's, what, almost
6'2", I
inches,
think, or 6'3".
Yeah, 8 inches taller than her. But if you watch them debate again, or if you see the clips, notice that her microphone's like right here, right in her mouth, and his is down here, more at his chest level. So it looks like he's more on top of it, maybe more imposing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I thought when he got aggressive, it looked like, you know, this guy's, he's, this man is being... He's imposing on this woman. I think it's complicated to debate a woman. I think it's tricky. I think you have to kind of watch it.
Although, is she really the most feminine woman, though?
No, and as I said before, that is the nastiest resting bitch face I've ever seen in my life. Good God. When she didn't like what he was saying.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that face. Woo!
Look at the difference in mic height. You see what I'm saying, though? It makes her appear smaller.
Yeah.
And the way he fills up that whole square, too, where you can actually see the top of her head.
Yeah, he did not. Somebody, I don't know if he takes advice. Who knows? But he should, you know, it's really important when you're not talking to just appear like, you know, you're just listening and everything's cool. And he was just, you know, making faces and, you know, kind of mumbling to himself. And it was sort of not as bad as Al Gore, but.
Yeah.
He could do much better than he did in this debate. I mean, if you're a Trump fan, the only good news in this is that...
There's two more debates.
There's two more, and he could do much better. It wasn't a disaster for him. I thought he lost, but I think he was expected to lose. But first of all, he wasn't good on his feet like he usually is.
Mm-mm.
And he let opportunities go by. He was trying to play the nice guy. I think that... You know, kept saying, Hillary's preparing for the nasty Donald Trump and for the nice Donald Trump.
That was the nice guy.
I think he was trying to be the nice guy.
The nice guy when she said, what was it? I actually laughed when he said, oh, she's like, which I thought this is a pretty humanizing line by her, which I don't know how many people believe it, but when she says the thing about how I have a feeling that by the end of the night, I'll be blamed for everything. I mean, that's a good line of humor from her in a way. And his response is, why not? Which is very funny, but that's not going to help his case of being the nicer
Donald Trump.
I think
that's just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. And sure. I would imagine a lot of people who like Donald Trump probably laughed.
I laughed too. I can't stand him.
You really hate him that much?
I don't like him. I really don't.
Did you always hate him, like during The Apprentice?
I did not like him during The Apprentice.
Really?
No, I really did. He's amusing. I still find him amusing. I don't like that... I don't like the stuff he said. You know, I didn't like the stuff he said in the first speech he gave. The way he would categorize people.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that.
As far as that goes, I think he's... I put him almost in my father's generation as being an old man. He has kind of old man ways about him. He's coarse. He's a coarse New Yorker.
See, I can put up with that. I don't have a problem with that. I just don't...
I don't like it that he lies. I don't know if that's lying or if that's just him being stupid, forgetful, or just, I don't know, or being a politician. I don't know. It's hard. I don't think he's...
I don't like it when he's like, I read on the internet, or I heard this, or I heard... Did you hear her? She actually threw that back in his face about the things you hear.
When was that?
It was a very sly line. I'll have to find it.
She had a few sly lines. She had some good lines, I thought.
She did, but not in the beginning.
About living in your own world and...
Yep. In the beginning, although the beginning it was always... Go to my website, which you're not going to win a debate by telling somebody to go to your fucking website.
I know.
You're just not. I thought that was really silly of her to do that.
Getting back to Donald Trump, I don't think he's really nearly the bad guy that they try to portray him as. I just think he's of that older generation. More so, he's actually almost in the Woodstock generation, but I really think he's clearly, like, behavior and mentally, I think he's really in the more... of the greatest generation, not because he's so great, but I think he's more of that. Even though his age wouldn't put him there necessarily, I think his mindset is more there. And I think when you see his kids talk about him, it softens him up a little bit. It's obvious that his kids love him, and I just don't think he's that bad a guy. I'm not saying he should be president.
I don't think he's necessarily a bad person. I think he is a ridiculous candidate for president.
Well, the only reason he's a candidate for president is because he's a very successful business person. And, you know, therein lies a question. Is somebody who's good at business necessarily cut out to be president? Is somebody who doesn't live in the system, is it conceivable they could be president? Well, I think if they surrounded themselves, I mean, Steve Forbes ran a bunch of times. Ross Perot ran. Mm-hmm. Ross Perot, I thought, was a great candidate. Mm-hmm. If he didn't have his idiosyncrasies, and, you know, they disrupted my daughter's wedding. You know, what did he say? The CIA did that? The CIA disrupted my daughter's wedding. I mean, that was when he went off the rails and people went, oh, boy, this guy can really be cuckoo. Yeah. And people took advantage of it, of course. And then the Stockdale selection. Oh, God. Remember that debate?
Yes.
I mean, that was the funniest debate ever. I mean, you really had to feel sorry for the guy. Like, what is he doing on this stage? Holy shit. I've never seen somebody who so didn't belong somewhere. But, and I'm not saying like Trump's a great guy or something, but I think he's like, if I could have a couple beers with Donald Trump, I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun talking to him. I mean, I don't think he's nearly the asshole that he's portrayed to be. I think he's very coarse, and people like seize on that part and just blow it up, or their leap's taken.
I don't think he's an asshole. I think he is a. I think he's still a bad candidate.
Oh well, I don't know. He's a bad candidate. I mean, these are the worst two candidates.
I hate the fear mongering that he presents. I really just don't like that.
The fear-mongering as far as
how terrible this country is and how awful it is and what terrible. And this is coming from someone that's unemployed.
I thought he made some great points in that regard. The fact that we're $20 trillion in debt and yet there's so many things we need to spend money on right now. I mean, our roads suck. Our airports. I never really think about our airports, but there's something you said for that.
It's not a terribly Republican thing to be very pro-public works.
He's not a Republican. He's in his own category. He does not. I just don't think he fills that bill necessarily. I don't even think of him as being in a party. I know he is, but. But isn't it ridiculous that we've put ourselves $20 trillion in debt, and yet we have a million infrastructure projects that we really need to get done in this country? We really need to spend money on stuff.
Now's the time to borrow money. It's pretty cheap to borrow money right now.
So why not go another $10 trillion in debt?
Well, if we're going to owe money, I'd rather we owe it to ourselves.
Owe it to ourselves? We're not going to owe it to ourselves.
Well, if the federal government owns bonds and stuff.
Is there another part of the debate we should play?
I don't know. Let me go through my notes. Trumped up, trickled down. That is the lamest line ever. Once again, keep his name out of your slogans. The love Trump's hate, as far as it just being a stupid thing to say anyway, why do you have his name at any of your events? It's the first thing you say. You say the opponent's name. That's just dumb.
Well, she thinks she's, you know, Trump. Wait, what does she say? What Trump's... Love Trump's hate.
Love Trump's hate.
It's stupid to have slogans with the opponent's name in them.
Exactly.
You know, after the debate, by the way, I watched some of the commentary, and most of it was pretty much they felt that Hillary won, and they were kind of going through criticisms of both and opportunities missed. And one thing that came out, and I didn't really I did think about it at the time, actually, was when they were talking about race. Mm-hmm. And that she chose not to reference anything negative that's going on in the black community, like black-on-black crime. She just didn't even go there.
Yeah.
And when he described, and it's funny how this never works for him no matter how he does it, he's referencing, you know, how bad the inner cities are, and you know, it's like a war zone or something. And she comes back to say, yeah, but you don't even, you're not even aware of the spirit in the black community and the churches. And, you know, like there aren't any problems in the black community when she's talking about, like, it's just this wonderful place that you know, it's like it's Oz or something.
Pretty silly.
It was ridiculous. I don't know. What is that pandering for black votes? What is that?
Yeah, probably.
You know, it kind
of course
of,
it is.
It smacks of the whole thing about not saying radical Islamist. You know, like
of course,
that is so horrible to say. I still cannot for the life of me figure out why we have a president who will not say that. It's so weird. And I've heard him try to justify it, and I still feel like, what is he talking about? That's our enemy. They're trying to kill us. They want to fucking kill us.
I mean, what he says is that you don't want to offend the other Muslims, the 90% or whatever.
That's why you say radical Islamists. Who doesn't understand that? I mean, if you're a fucking idiot.
Apparently, right, Muslims overseas don't understand that.
Well,
did you see King Jordan on 60 Minutes?
I did see some of that, yeah.
King Hussein of Jordan?
Yes.
I thought that dude was pretty sharp about some stuff, man.
Yeah, he was. Definitely.
I thought he was really good, but he was talking something to that effect. Like, look, there's high unemployment in the Middle East. These people are just looking for something to join, and they join up because they see they have a common enemy when America presents things towards them. And that's kind of where...
Well, that's the most pathetic excuse for joining an organization that beheads innocent people and kills Christians kills anyone who's not a Muslim.
Frankly,
that's pathetic.
There's no reason to join them.
No.
I did notice.
There's no excuse for that. And unless you're a soulless piece of shit.
I did notice tonight that Trump admitted that the reason ISIS existed was the vacuum created by Obama, not that they were founders of ISIS. Remember that whole founders of ISIS thing came up?
So stupid.
Well, I thought that was dumb because Hugh Hewitt gave him an out, and an out was that they created the vacuum for ISIS to exist, which is what he said tonight.
I never understood where he was going with that. I think he was trying for something. I don't know what. I have no idea. But anyway, let's find another segment of the debate to play just for shits and giggles.
I thought he was really good. Let's see. I thought Trump was good in the first half hour. That's funny. She keeps going back to that website as if anybody cares about facts anymore. Oh, I like this line by Trump. You want to raise taxes big time. I want to cut them big time. Big time. Once again, what was her response? Go to the website.
Oh, yes.
But, okay, should we go to where I thought the tide
turned? By the way, this drives me fucking crazy. Not like it used to because I'm unemployed, so I don't really care anymore about making money and paying taxes. When Obama used to say it, and he said it all the time about getting people making money to pay their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
Their fair share. You're getting half your paycheck and you're not paying your fair share. I thought a lot of that led to the, what's the word I'm looking for? God, I'm fucking slow tonight. The, not victimization, just the general sort of hatred and, it's more than disrespect for wealthy people. It's just like they're just bad people. They're bad people. They don't pay their fair share. They're, you know, they're just big weasels.
It's a pretty
don't pay any taxes.
It's a pretty stupid way of saying it.
And she said it tonight that, you know, I talk to rich people. She's talking about Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the guy making $400,000 is not asking to pay more taxes. He's paying 39.6 federal. Then you get in state tax and Social Security and Obamacare if he's got any capital gains, and you're paying really damn close to 50%, and nobody who makes over, I don't know what the demarcation point is, but nobody making over $300,000 feels they're not paying their fair share. And for her to reference these few loaded to the gills people who apparently feel guilty about their wealth, and I'd probably feel pretty guilty about as much money as Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or Ted Turner.
But you know why that exists.
Giving all their money away.
That exists because you're talking about the top 1%. You're talking about
the top 1% pays 95% of the taxes.
Yep, but you know how that plays, though, to the public. I think you got 99% against one.
Well, sure. Oh, no, it's an easy one to play, but it's bullshit. I mean, you've demonized is the word I was thinking of. I really feel like Obama started the demonization. Maybe didn't start it. Probably started long before that. But I thought Obama really honed in on the demonization of the 1% as a bunch of greedy people who don't want to pay their fair share. And that's horse shit. I mean, you should see the amount of taxes people making $1 million or $500,000. They pay a shit ton of taxes. And I'm telling you, because you know, we had some really good years there too, and I'm not complaining about my take-home pay. It was a lot of money, but fuck, did I pay a lot of taxes, and it made me want to fucking cry when people said that people, the 1% doesn't pay their fair share. It's just bullshit. And not only that, the... I just got a text. Sorry.
Everything all right? Seems to be incredibly important.
Oh, no, it's not that important. I'll turn this off. Well, I think I'll respond first. Hold on. Sorry.
It must be terribly
it's
important.
It's kind of important.
All right. Well, Jay, you can play this part, because this is where I thought the tide really started turning, because I feel like she really hit a bone with him.
It got us into the mess we were in 2008 and 9. Slashing taxes on the wealthy hasn't worked, and a lot of really...
Sorry, not that
slashing
part.
Taxes on the wealthy, when did that happen?
Top-down works in America. I think building the middle class, investing...
It's funny, she didn't repeat her line of trumped up, trickled down, though, because she knew it bombed.
And a lot of really smart, wealthy people know that. And they are
who
saying,
are these
hey,
people? Would you name some?
We need to do more to make the contributions we should be making to rebuild the middle class. I don't think top-down works in America. I think building
pause
the middle class...
Pause this for a second. The idea that the top 1% isn't doing enough to help the middle class by paying 95% of the taxes, actually I think it's more like 92%, but how can you say that? And I know the 99 is going to go, yay, we don't have to pay more taxes. Because the taxes from, if you make, what is it, about 80 grand and down below, you've had your taxes nothing but decrease for probably the last, because Bush decreased them too. Bush put so many people in the zone of paying no income tax, which I think is wrong. I think everyone should pay at least a couple $100 or $500 or something just so you're part of it. I mean, pay just a tiny piece of your share. You're going to pay something. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Investing in the middle class, making college debt-free so more young people can get their education, helping people refinance their debt from college at a lower rate. Those are the kinds of things that will...
Because he doesn't care about all that. Let's see. Let it get to a personal attack on him.
We're in a bubble right now.
We're in a bubble right now.
He may have a point about this.
Oh, about the Fed? Absolutely does.
Yeah, and about the stock market.
He absolutely does. I think most people would agree that it is a bubble.
Being more political than Secretary Clinton.
Mr. Trump, we're talking about the burden that Americans have to pay, yet you have not released your tax returns. And the reason nominees have released their returns for decades is so that voters will know if their potential president owes money to, who he owes it to, and any business conflicts. Don't Americans have a right to know if there are any conflicts of interest?
I don't mind releasing. I'm under a routine audit, and it'll be released. And as soon as the audit's finished, it'll be
released.
Nobody
buys this.
But you will learn more about Donald Trump by going down to the federal elections, where I filed a 104-page essentially financial statement.
I'm starting
of
to wonder if he's
the
not,
forms that they
if he's
have
not making as much money
it shows income,
as maybe
in fact,
like
the
people
income.
To think.
I just look.
Well, that was the first thing she said, but I really think it's about, I think it's twofold. She brings it up the 0% that he's paid.
Well,
in
he
tax.
Said he said that's
he
being smart. If you
well, so he basically
if you're a developer,
admit to it.
If you're a developer and you don't have to pay taxes, why would you pay taxes?
Of course not. If anybody can get away without paying taxes, that's
of course
being smart.
But why are people allowed to pay no taxes? What is wrong with this fucking country where we have people who make 10 million, 20 million, 30 million? It should be, look, you pay a minimum of 30%. It doesn't matter how many write-offs you have. You pay 30%, asshole.
I think
period.
I think there's stuff in there, too, with who lends him money. And I just think there's really strong Russian connections with him.
Well, you know, anybody who borrows a lot of money, he claims he borrows a lot less relative to his net worth, which may or may not be true. But, you know, some of the deals, look at
U.S. banks.
Look at Comerica Park. They were borrowing money from foreign banks. That's
know,
not that's
but
not that
Park's
unusual.
Not running for president.
Well, what's the point that these countries with these banks have something over him? He pays his debts.
Today,
I don't think
the
it's
income
and,
is
but it's
going to
be a blind trust anyway. His kids are going to run it.
$694 million for this past year. $694 million. If you would have told me I was going to make that 15 or 20 years ago, I would have been very surprised. But that's the kind of thinking that our country needs. When we have a country that's doing so badly, that's
pretty
being
good at that.
Ripped off by every single country in the world, it's the kind of thinking that our country needs. Because everybody,
Lester, we have a trade deficit with all of the countries that we do business with of almost $800 billion a year. You know what that is? That means who's negotiating these trade deals?
Just waiting to throw it out there.
That are political hacks negotiating.
Look at that
our
resting
trade
bitch face.
Excuse me. Audit of your taxes, you're perfectly free to release your taxes during an audit.
Can you pause that?
The question
Thank
is
you,
the,
Lester.
Why doesn't Obama send a memo to the IRS? Would you finish the audit already?
Well, the IRS is the IRS has already absolved themselves and said they've released.
No, but they're still auditing him. Why don't they finish the audit so he doesn't have anything left to say?
Then he'll just blame Obama for whatever. They should just drop the audit.
Yeah, drop the audit. Exactly.
Everything's fine. Whatever.
And by the way, having been audited six times, I know what he's talking about.
I think because the Republicans are already, you know, they're already weary of the IRS with the way they went after Tea Party groups, and they already see the IRS as being politicized. So I think it's best if the politicians were to stay away from the IRS.
How scary is that, the IRS being politicized? I mean, what kind of bullshit?
That's kind
of
the point. But they did
really scary.
They've released statement upon statement about how, no, he is more than welcome to release his tax returns. He chooses not to. He's got
waiting for his audit to be done.
Nobody buys that.
Finish the audit.
Nobody.
Send a memo to the IRS. Get going on the fucking Trump audit. I'll be done Friday, and I'll announce it on my press conference.
I love how much
Donald Trump, Obama keeps saying, by the way, I just got a call from the IRS. They finished Donald Trump's audit, so you can release your taxes, Donald. Wouldn't that be great?
It's right to know outweigh your personal.
Well, I told you, I will release them as soon as the audit. Look, I've been under audit
this
almost for 15 years.
I
know
he's
a lot
a
of wealthy people that have never been audited. I said, do you get audited? I get audited almost every year.
Believe me.
And in a
it
way,
sucks.
I should be complaining. I'm not even complaining. I don't mind it.
I'm not
it's
even
become
complaining
a way of life.
As
I
he's
get
complaining.
By the IRS. But other people don't. I will say this. We have a situation in this country that has to be taken care of. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted.
See, to me, that says...
That's a way to get them released.
Hey, why don't your lawyers want you to release your tax statements? What's in your tax returns?
He's not afraid of it.
Well, but his lawyers are like, "Don't do it." There's something.
Well, they'll tell you that.
Yeah, it sounds like he's hiding.
Why
something.
Didn't she release her?
She
releases her emails and it's done deal.
She already deleted them.
Huh?
They're gone.
My tax returns.
She deleted
and
them.
That's against my lawyers. They say don't do it. I will tell you this. No, in fact, watching. Shows, reading the papers.
Hillary's making wacky smiles.
You
bizarre.
Don't release your returns until the audit's complete.
She's like the Joker,
complete,
doesn't
do
she?
But
that
I would
smile,
go against
giant
them
dimples.
If she releases her
so
email.
It's negotiable?
It's not negotiable. No, let her release the email. Why did she delete 33,000?
Well, I'll let her ask that, but let me just admonish the audience one more
now,
time.
Now, there is an issue there in that some of her emails have been investigated and released, but none of his tax records have.
He's got a 104-page financial statement, Mark.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
I didn't ask you to be silent, so it would be helpful for us. Secretary Clinton.
Well, I think you've just seen another example of bait and switch here. For 40 years, everyone running for president has released their tax returns. You can go and see nearly, I think, 39, 40 years of our tax returns, but everyone has done it. We know the IRS has made clear there is no prohibition on releasing it when you're under audit. So you've got to ask yourself, why won't he release his tax returns? And I think there may be a couple of reasons. First, maybe he's not as rich as he says he is.
Ooh,
second,
that burns
maybe
him.
He's not as charitable as he claims to be.
Didn't care about
Third,
that.
We don't know all of his business dealings, but we have been told through investigative reporting that he owes about $650 million to Wall Street and foreign banks.
That
or maybe
face
he doesn't want
Good
the American
God.
People, there all is. Of you watching tonight, to know that he's paid nothing in federal taxes. Because the only years that anybody's ever seen were a couple of years when he had to turn them over to state authorities when he was trying to get a casino license. And they showed he didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if he's
smart.
Paid zero, that means zero for troops, zero for vets, zero for schools or health.
Yeah, no, he did.
And I think probably he's not all that enthusiastic.
No
about
one's going to be surprised by this.
Having the rest of our country see what the real reasons are, because it must be something
Hit the pause
really
button.
Important, oh, even terrible.
I got it.
Why, if you don't have to pay any taxes, why would you pay taxes?
No, it makes him smart.
No, it actually doesn't make him smart. It means that he's got great accountants who work within the IRS and the tax law. You know, we have, what, 50,000 pages of tax law? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, this is why when he says, I want the high tax rate to be 33%, but I'm going to limit deductions to $100,000. You know, when you limit deductions to $100,000, that means you can get basically $33,300 back. I mean, that's all you can write off. Do you know how much money they would make, the government would make, if these guys, developers like him, mm-hmm. are paying 33% on the button with $100,000? I mean, that would be a windfall. How could they lose on that?
I don't know. I mean, most economists do not like his tax plan.
Warren Buffett pays 19%. What would happen if Warren Buffett paid 33%?
Of course. Well, he's dying to pay, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, just give the fucking money away. He doesn't have to. I don't know why they have to reform the tax system to make him give away money. I don't understand that.
That is really funny. He makes that. It's purely political, but he could give that money away if he wanted to. He could write a check.
Right.
Write a check to.
And you know, for Warren Buffett to say, and Warren Buffett really fucking annoyed me when I was making a lot of money because he said stuff like, "I pay less taxes than my secretary."
Well,
it's like,
two
you do
two
not.
Types of tax.
He paid a lower percentage rate because she didn't have write-offs, and she was probably in the 25% bracket. He probably paid her $75,000 or something. And so he had his myriad of write-offs, and he was paying capital gains primarily, which is 15% at that time. So he paid a lower – he didn't pay less money. People ran around saying, Warren Buffett pays less taxes than his secretary. That's bullshit. And it was bullshit. It was bullshit.
The Tax Foundation said that Trump's proposal would – reduce revenue between $4.5 to $6 trillion in corporate and individual taxes.
How much is he lowering? What are his tax brackets? 33,
14, and 15, and 10. Is that right?
Well, the reason it's going
to
lower
35 to 50. No, that's the corporate tax, the statutory corporate tax.
The if the second bracket is 15, that means you're going from 28 to 15.
Well,
that's a lot of people. That's where the people are. You know, this idea that you can make all this revenue off the 1%. Yeah, you can make more money, but there aren't that many people in 1%. When you talk about the middle class, you know, that's what 60% of the population or so, and you drop them from 28 to 15. That's a gigantic amount of money you're going to lose in revenue.
Well, people smarter than me say that that's what it would cost, and of course, he says he can make
right,
that
but
up.
That's money in people's pockets. Look at, I mean, 13% on federal tax, that's a ton of,
He claims he's going to do it by cutting waste, which is great. So why not just do that and keep
it? It's not 15%, it's 25. Oh, wait. 12 and 25 and 33. So what's the second, it's 28%, I think, right now? Does it say? I think it's 28. 28 to 25, and it's 15 is the third rate. I mean, that's got to be, when you're talking about the number of people in that tax bracket, that's got to be a shit ton of people. That's money in their pockets. So,
but why not?
I'm not saying it's a winning policy. I'm just saying it's a lot of people carrying around a lot more money.
But why not cut waste and fraud and abuse and then cut taxes instead of the other way around?
Waste and fraud and abuse.
That's how that's his response. That's how he's going to make it up.
I know everyone says that.
Now, her plan wants to add $191 billion in revenue. Now, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing to do either, because where are they going to spend? And like Trump said tonight, they'll waste.
Do you want
it.
The government taxing us more?
Oh.
And when I say us, I mean everyone. I think people go, oh, top 1%, who fucking cares? But that's money out of people's pockets who spend a lot of money.
Do you think there's a problem with wealth disparity in the country?
Well, yeah, probably. And I think there's a problem when 1% are making, you know, what, 40% of the income and paying 90% of the taxes. That's stupid.
So how do you fix that disparity, though?
Well, I don't think you play Robin Hood.
No, and I don't think that's
necessarily. You know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that in this country, a lot of people are incredibly successful and build these unbelievable things.
Absolutely.
Like Facebook, for example. I mean, should the guy who came up with Facebook, should he be limited in how much money he can make?
No, not at all.
What, are we going to take away 60% of it because it's just too much money for one person to have?
But it's like my accountant always said, if you don't want to pay more in taxes, make less money.
Well, sure. I doubt he's complaining about his, you know, how much he's, well, he might be complaining how much he's paying in taxes. I don't know. Or he may not be paying any taxes. What kills me about these people making, you know, $50 million or $2 billion is that they find all these myriad of ways in shell companies. What is with the tax code? Every time they turn around and say, oh, we're going to simplify the tax code. They never fucking do it.
Well, no, because you have lobbying groups for accountants. You have lobbying
I know,
groups
but who fucking cares? Well, since when did it become that lobbyists run everything? Because that's what's happened.
It's always
about
well,
they got
money.
A big lobbyist group, and you know they give so much money to the candidates, and so they can't reform the tax code
well,
now.
You can thank Citizens United for that. I mean, their power has grown exponentially since Citizens United, since the decision.
It's disgusting. And these guys that work for high up people in the federal government who go to represent foreign countries and lobby on behalf of them. How fucking ridiculous. And they have the access. They I hate this whole subject.
Well, let's see. What other? I'm just going through the notes. I don't know why he keeps talking about stop and frisk. It's been a disaster. Everybody, he talks about how Chicago.
Well, I always wonder where did that come from? Is that? Do you think Rudy Giuliani talked him into that, or just
Stop
and frisk is great, Donald.
I was known as the stop and frisk mayor, so it worked wonders. But almost every academic study shows what a disaster is. About 88% of the people they stopped were innocent. So you're stopping 88% innocent people, and 84 of them are minorities. And he talks about how Chicago needs it when they had it for years.
I find myself wondering where these things come from with Donald Trump, because I don't think Donald Trump goes home and studies you know, law and order and police departments, what police departments have been doing for the last 50 years, and then comes up with, I've got it.
No.
I think he must get this from, he must have people around him who either suggest things to him or I don't know, or he takes the myriad of their suggestions and decides, I like this one. But I thought when he first started running, I thought, well, you know, I love it. He doesn't have anyone. He's beholden to no one. That's great. He's a business person. And I've always liked the idea. Ever since Perot, I really loved Ross Perot. And I thought, you know, if he had not dropped out originally, that he would have really had a shot, because I think a lot of people liked him. There was a lot of momentum for somebody who is not a politician. I'm so sick of politicians, and a lot of people are. But with Trump, I thought he would surround himself with really smart people. And, you know, that's basically how the real president does it. But I just don't think he's done that. I don't know who he takes all his advice from.
Should the country be run as a business, too? I mean, that's more of a larger philosophical question. I mean, a business ideally doesn't want to carry much debt or deficit. But as a government, you want debt and deficit.
I have a real simple answer to that. Yes, the government needs to be run much more like a business than it's been
more.
Run.
That's fine. But not like a business.
Well, not exactly like a business, because it has to do with a lot of other things besides
losses in certain
money
sectors. Yeah,
but it's pathetic that we're $20 trillion in debt, and it's pathetic. You know, he was talking about you know, the military pays these ridiculous prices for screws and hammers and toilet seats. Every time I hear that, I just want to throw up. I mean, it just makes people sick.
At the same time, though, and tonight he advocated for new B-52 bombers.
Gotta have a strong military.
Well, then you're gonna have to buy expensive screws, because
the biggest lobbying
group in this country are defense contractors.
All these great military toys cost a lot of money. And by the way, many times I've said to myself, I'm going to the business of building B-52 bombers when I find out what they fucking cost. Can you believe how much this shit costs?
I know. But
what is the profit margin on that stuff?
I don't know. Those are incredible machines, though. They're pretty badass.
Oh, they are. No, I agree. They really are.
They're fucking sweet.
They all are.
What was he? Oh, do you buy this thing he says about his plan for ISIS?
No, I don't.
About
not I don't
telling
know.
It. Not,
I have no idea what he's talking about.
She's got it plastered all over her website. That's what he kept saying.
I think that's funny. And I've never.
I think it's funny, but I think it's ridiculous that people. Well, yeah, of course you wouldn't tell them how you're going
to
defeat them.
I have to tell you, I've never understood why people talk about military plans. You know, it's like, remember, when's the ground war start?
Because you have allies.
Huh?
Because you have allies. Other countries are your allies. You can't keep secrets from your allies.
No, but you at a press conference, you reveal when you're going to start your ground war. I agree with him to a point about not telling the world what your plans are militarily. It seems kind of stupid.
Okay.
What?
I just.
Why would you tell if, you, if you're going to war with
magical,
someone?
Well, if you had a magical plan to defeat ISIS, wouldn't you be telling your constituents what it is?
Why wouldn't you just execute it and defeat them instead of letting them know?
He can't execute it yet. That's a lot of trust to put in somebody.
No, but why would you tell your opponent what you're going to do so they have, you know, time to think about it? It's just like, why would the Patriots tell the Seahawks what they're going to do in the Super Bowl?
Well, because they're going to do it better.
No, because they don't want them to know what their game plan is.
A lot of times the defense knows what an offensive game plan is, and they still stop them.
Well, sometimes they do.
They don't.
I sincerely don't understand why anyone gets into military things publicly when you're in the middle of a war. I think it's just stupid. And he's not the first person to say that. What did he say about General MacArthur?
Oh, yeah. He said Douglas MacArthur wouldn't like that about her giving her plan away on her website. I don't think Douglas MacArthur would know what cyber is.
I'm
just trying to look for other funny lines. Oh, about him stiffing business owners. Hey, maybe he didn't do a good job.
Well, he gets sued a bazillion times. Anybody in his position gets sued a bazillion times. I sincerely doubt that Donald Trump is going, hey, fuck the dishwasher. Don't pay him.
Hey, I mean,
you really think he just does that? Just decides I'm going to stiff people?
Maybe he didn't do a good job. That cabinet, that one cabinet owner's not happy with him. Remember that guy?
Oh,
the
yeah.
cabinets that the slot machine sat on.
Well, you give these guys, suddenly Donald Trump is running for president and all these people know they can make a little noise and maybe get paid off a little faster. Sure, I'd do the same thing.
Oh, and then he followed it up with, tens of thousands of people are unbelievably happy and love me. Oh, man. Oh, he does make me laugh.
Oh, he's a laugh a minute, no question.
I mean, I don't think the country's going to be destroyed if he's president or anything. Far from it. I just don't want him to be president. I don't think I want her to be president either.
Oh, I definitely don't want her to be president. I absolutely don't. It's a really, this election is really sad to me because, yeah, honestly, my gut thing is, because I'm not crazy about either candidate, I find myself going, well, what's best for the stock market? I should be concerned about my stock investments.
Uh-huh.
And then I think, well, then I want Hillary. But then Hillary will fucking raise capital gains the first chance she has. In fact, she said something like 30% capital gains.
Long term, yeah.
Fuck that. Short term. Fuck you, bitch. Just because you've got it made, nobody else doesn't. What's that going to do to the stock market, by the way? That's not going to help the stock market.
It's really funny, though, when he talks about her, she's so friendly to banks. It's kind of like, well, don't we want someone that's friendly to banks since that's our major industry now in this country is finance?
It depends on how friendly you're talking. People aren't big fans of banks these days.
Of course not. I'm kind of saying it's slightly tongue-in-cheek, but I don't think we want people right. That was a good point he made early on, too, and he failed to capitalize on it, about how she's just going to be regulation, the regulation.
Oh, yeah. Queen. No, that's, I mean, but to that, business
but
people.
But he left that. He just kind of let that die in the vine. That's huge for the economy.
Well, I think he hit on it. I think he could have made some examples. You know, what regulations are you talking about here? And that is a very democratic thing to have regulation.
Oh, major. I mean, that's the one thing that probably slowed the recovering economy under Obama.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Oh, the speaking of Obama, remember I started talking about this when he really kind of hammered her on it, which I thought was a good point. She starts talking about how she starts defending Obama about the whole birther thing, which,
yeah,
I was kind of amazed that Lester brought up the birther thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste of time.
His answer was ridiculous about he's trying to be a hero for making, you know, for hammering it home and making Obama show the birth certificate. Like, he was very proud of that,
uh-huh,
which most people thought it was ridiculous that this guy was still trying to get a birth certificate.
Well, you know,
it
was ridiculous, though. I mean, there was a lot of people that believed that.
I know, but as far as the national population, I think most people believe and accepted that he was born here. It was 2011 at that time.
Well, wasn't it like 20%? No, 20% still believe he is not born in the U.S.
Okay, well, then
I'm
not
kidding. 12% of Democrats, by the way.
But anyway, she starts defending him or defending Obama with that whole thing. And
oh, he was so hurt by it. I don't believe that shit. What is she talking
about? I know,
about?
And I thought that was actually a good point Trump made, which, you know, we've talked about this before. Her campaign, whether it's at the high levels or the ground levels, are the ones that really pushed that in 2008. And he finally just told her, he goes, it doesn't work like that. In other words, you can't be mean and shitty in 2008 and then 8 years later because he gave you a job as Secretary of State.
Well,
be his best friend.
Why have they not dug up some of the things that she said about Obama in 2008, by the way? I mean, that's just bad. That's just bad campaigning.
Kind of, he alluded
to it. Stuff should be all over the place.
He alluded to the bad things she said in the debate back then. But it looks really dumb for her to talk about.
The debates, the commercials, all that. I mean, she was all over his ass. That was one of the nastiest campaigns. And, you know, she was supposed to win that campaign. She was supposed to be president in 2008. I mean, I think most people thought she was going to be president in 2008.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm amazed, if you think about it, to think that she actually stuck around to age 69, 8 more years she waited for that. She was going to be, it was preordained she'd be president in 61, and now she's waiting until she's 60 fucking 9, and she still wants it.
Oh,
she wants to spend the next 8 years, age 69 to 77, running this goddamn place.
69.
True, she would probably wait another 8 if it doesn't
happen. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if she ran at 73, if Trump beat her, and then had a controversial first 4 years, and she had a chance to run against him again. I think she would. I really do.
Anyway.
All right. Enough about the debate. Let's see. How
talk about the cool story of the day.
What's the cool story?
You know, it's just a horrible story. Maybe it's because I really like the guy that Jose Fernandez died.
Uh-huh.
Passed away, you know, in the speedboat accident. You have a guy that's pretty much what this country's about. He takes a speedboat from Cuba. When he's a teenager.
You know, he tried to escape 3 times
and
was sent back. It's amazing.
Everything to love about that guy. Love the game of baseball.
Saved his mother from drowning. Yeah, no, he sounds like an incredible. He was an incredible pitcher, too.
He's a stud.
I have a slightly different take on this whole story, only in that yesterday Mario and Rod were implying that one of the reasons, probably the main reason Iglesias was not in the lineup on Sunday was because he was upset about Jose Fernandez.
Are they friends?
Yeah, they're friends.
Okay.
They're absolutely friends.
Well,
but to sit out a game in the pennant race with 7 games left, I thought that was, whoa. I assure you, this is something that would not have happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Nobody would sit out a game because a friend died. Your mother dies, your father dies, your sister, brother, that's different.
Well,
but a friend, I don't know.
They canceled the Marlins game on Sunday because everybody's pretty torn up. And that this is the cool thing I was talking about tonight. I don't know if you saw any of the highlights with the Marlins tonight and how torn up they were.
I didn't get to see that.
So they all wore number 16 Fernandez jerseys.
Sure. Cool.
Jeffrey Loria, which, piece of scum that he is. He actually, though, did come out and say they're retiring the number.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Loria, not a good guy, but did the right thing by probably retiring his number. So D. Gordon, you know, one of the leaders on that team, they did all the pregame stuff for him. He wore Fernandez's batting helmet at bat in the first inning to lead off. Hit his first home run of the year.
Oh, no kidding.
Launched it.
Wow.
Just bawling when he stepped on home plate, too, in tears.
No, I didn't see any of that. First thing I'm going to do when we get done is look at the highlights.
Drew, it was incredible. And all and I know you've seen Fernandez do this, where he's standing on the top of the dugout, kind of drumming.
Uh-huh.
That's what all the players were doing as D. Gordon was rounding the base.
Wow.
Can you see if you can pull that up, Jay? It's for the Miami Marlins game. But how cool is that? First home run of the year.
Yeah, that's wild. You know, there have been so many freaky things like that that just seem to happen.
Right, and you can't write stuff like that.
The Tigers, by the way, lost 7-4 tonight, and oh my God, this Cleveland thing. Buck Farmer, I'm sorry, God Almighty, how can you have Buck Farmer starting a game with 7 games left? What a tragedy! And here Zimmerman comes out of the bullpen yesterday because he hasn't had a chance.
Yeah,
I mean he's pitched like shit every time he's come back, and I think Austin was saying, I'm just going to, you know, we're down 6 runs. I'm going to throw him out there and let's see if we can get something out of him. Maybe I can get him a start. You know, maybe if he looks like himself. He looked great yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And what a damn shame that they couldn't have started him today.
It's actually a good move by Osmus to see that.
I thought it was, too. I was impressed. You know, I didn't hear anybody give me any credit for it because nobody ever gives Brad Osmus credit for anything. But then today, God damn it.
The Indians clinched it, officially clinched the Central today.
They were down 4-3 in the 6th inning. The Tigers were, and I thought they come back and win this game. And sure enough, the fucking bullpen gives up 3 more runs, and they lose 7-4.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Wilson gives up another home run.
Mm-hmm.
God, he is just, I really thought he was a great pitcher. I still think he can be a great pitcher, but he stinks this year. God, he stinks. Alex Wilson gave up two runs, I guess one earned. So somebody made a big error. JD had a homer. Miggy drove in two with singles, I believe. Miggy has not really been, you know, I was really expecting Miggy to blow up sometime in this final stretch. You know, this is when you got to have your stars doing big things, and he just isn't doing big things.
Well, unfortunately, Orioles won today. Toronto lost. So let's see where that leaves them. Let me go back to this. I think they're two out in the wild card. They're two out in the wild card tied with Seattle.
With six games left, and they got three against Cleveland, which is the hard part. They can't fucking beat Cleveland.
Yeah. They got to gain ground, too, man. And they got the, like I just said, the Mariners right on their tail.
Well, the good news is we have Verlander's pitching when? Wednesday? Fulmer's turn is coming up. Well, wait, Fulmer pitched Friday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Fulmer would be pitching Wednesday. I guess Verlander would be pitching Tuesday.
I'll tell you the matchups. Verlander Tuesday, Fulmer, then Norris.
Okay, I like that.
I believe they're going to win the last three at Atlanta.
Well, I think so. I don't know. You know, you're playing in National League Park without the DH, which is really shitty. An American League team finishing the season in a pennant race in a National League Park. So no DH, no Victor, who's been hitting better lately at a Grand Slam Sunday.
Let's see. Who does Baltimore have, though? Be interesting to see what their remaining schedule is.
Well, I got to tell you, since K-Rod blew that game on Saturday,
yeah,
I knew they'd lose Sunday.
White flag, right?
Yeah. And then...
The Orioles, you know what's interesting? You know who the Orioles are playing now?
Who?
They got three with Toronto.
Oh, so somebody's got to lose every day.
Well, hopefully one of those teams sweeps the other one, right?
Yeah, yep.
And then they're at New York, so the Orioles are on the road at Toronto and at New York.
Okay.
So we'll see. It's possible.
No, it's still possible.
Seem terribly
but I tell you what, when your closer blows a two-run lead by giving up five runs in the seventh to the last game when you are fighting your balls off for a playoff spot, and you've got a five-game winning streak going, too. I mean, snap the streak. Then Sunday, the starter gives up four runs in the first inning. Okay, you got nine innings to come back. And they did come back. But the bullpen gives up eight runs. I'm sorry. Ugh. They actually got it to 11-9 in the eighth. They scored two runs in the eighth. And Zimmerman goes out, and he'd pitch two scoreless innings. He gives up a run to make it 12-9. And then we had Miggy at bat with two on to tie the game up, and Miggy hit a weak fly to left field.
Well, their current percent chance of making the playoffs is, care to guess?
30%.
17.3.
Oh, 7-2, boy.
A little better in Seattle, but Baltimore is at 72.
Okay, here's D. Gordon's home run.
By the way, D. Gordon's first pitch he took from the right side of the plate in honor of Fernandez as well.
Oh, cool.
Switch to the left side.
Sweet.
Third to right. It's deep. And it's gone. D. Gordon has hit it out. And the Marlins have a 1-0 lead.
Was that place jammed? Looks pretty jammed,
yeah.
Actually.
Did you see the celebration, though, just like Fernandez does at the dugout?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. So bitch.
It's just kind of cool out of an awful, awful story. Awful situation. The guy, like, nobody has a bad thing to say about Jose Fernandez either.
That boat hit that jetty at full speed.
Yep.
God damn. And more on that, the two freshmen in high school that stole the Mustang.
Oh, I didn't see the update. What's the update?
Oh, there wasn't a ton that was, I mean, they had most of the story yesterday, but it was just, you know, they're talking to one of the uncles of one of the kids. And
were they troubled kids?
It didn't sound like it, but, you know, I couldn't help but think, I mean, stealing a car, they stole the car.
Yeah. Kind of thought that we knew it was a stolen car. We didn't know if they stole it.
And, you know, to run from the cops, my God, I mean, that's pretty ballsy. But they clipped the eastbound car. They were going westbound. They clipped the bumper of the eastbound car, and that caused their vehicle. He was driving so fast, it caused the car to flip and spin, you know, S over apple cart caught on fire, but they were killed by the impact, or so they believed. Ugh. Yeah, just, 14 and 15 years old.
Do you want to hear Trump's spin on the debate already?
Yeah, what'd he say? He won, I'm sure.
He's already claiming it was fixed.
the moderator?
He declared himself satisfied with his debate performance, but then raised a complaint about the electronic equipment that piped the contest to millions of viewers. They gave me a defective mic. Did you notice that? Trump told a throng of media gathered afterwards.
What was wrong with his mic?
My mic was defective within the room.
What?
I don't know.
Did people not hear him in the room?
A questioner at first laughed at what could be Trump's inquiry into a rigged system or if somebody got paid. I wonder, was that on purpose, Trump asked, but I had a mic that wasn't working properly, he continued. There were times it was softer than Hillary's. That is true. wow, that's funny. I didn't think there's a single problem with the mic.
Well, you're not in the room, though. I think what he's saying is the audience live couldn't hear him.
Oh, well, who cares about the live audience? There's 100 million watching at home.
Well, they were responding, though, the live audience was. At the end, they were getting wacky because they clapped for something Hillary said, and then
Lester yelled at him.
And then later on, though, he didn't say anything, and then Trump's people responded. When he said something, they got loud.
He did say Lester Holt was okay, which I thought was interesting because I thought he challenged Trump more than he challenged Hillary. I thought that'd be a bitch from somewhere or someone.
Definitely. And Trump just talked over him multiple times. Yeah.
It's almost like he was debating Lester Holt.
I know. He referenced him by name like seven times, which is weird. It's like, you're not talking to Lester Holt. Dear Kimberly Gill was named the co-anchor of the Local 4 at 5, 6, and 11.
As you predicted.
Yes.
It's funny. Hank Winchester texted me today as soon as he got the press release.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he wants to come in.
Oh, cool. Definitely. Has he been listening at all?
Sure. I didn't ask him. I'm sure he has.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying consider he's Hank a friend. Should. No, Hank's been great. Definitely. No, I love Hank.
But he was talking about bringing either Sam or Matt Prater in when he comes.
That's even cooler.
Yeah. So if Hank wants to be second banana to one of his friends.
Talk some football. It's funny that Hank's such a big football fan.
Yeah?
I just don't picture him as being a giant football fan, but he's into football.
Sports fan, yeah.
Big time. Yeah, he's a huge sports fan.
Stuff, man.
Yeah, Kimberly Gill takes a great picture, doesn't she?
Beautiful. Well, someone claimed it was from like 1979.
I thought that picture was old. I really did. did you see the list of the 100 greatest shows of all time?
No.
Great list.
You know I love, man, I fall for lists like this. Breaking Bad's got to be one.
It's close.
The Sopranos.
I'll just tell you some of the higher numbered shows that you might be interested in. Portlandia is 97.
Okay.
Good show.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't expect to see it on this list, though. Eastbound and Down was 100. Oz, Golden Girls at 98.
Oz is that low?
Oz is 99, yeah.
Oz is phenomenal.
Golden Girls is below Portlandia. That's kind of funny. Golden Girls is one of the more watched shows of all time, I believe.
Yeah.
Gunsmoke, one of the longest running shows in history. Key and Peele, 95.
Wow.
Jeopardy at 94. Mystery Science Theater 3000 at 93.
Love it.
American Idol 92. That's kind of low, isn't it, for a show that high rated? I mean, everyone watched that show.
Based on ratings, though, is it? Or I mean,
no, it's not based on ratings, but it's. I think they considered ratings for it. The Dick Van Dyke Show, Homeland. Party Down, Doctor Who at 87.
Party Down's good. I love Homeland, too.
People that like Doctor Who are nuts.
Nerds. Total nerds.
Total nerds, yeah. Cool, but they love that show. Good Times. The Real World at 85.
Good Times.
Good Times.
Dynamite.
I would have thought it'd be higher. Real Time with Bill Maher. House of Cards. The Jeffersons. Dallas. I think there's a bias towards new shows on this.
Well, come on. TV's way better today than it's ever been.
Oh, not necessarily.
In the last 15 years. Oh, yeah, since high def and episodic TV.
No, that
really
stuff. But
off.
you have to consider the writing of the old shows and the acting. Eh. Like the Andy Griffith Show or something like that.
No, sure, competition.
It's dated as hell, but it's a great show. I mean, the characters, everyone remembers. If you ever watch that show,
okay,
you
Maz.
Remember everyone in that show. Oh, come on. I'm not lobbying for Mr. Ed here. I'm lobbying for Barney Fife and Otis the Drunk and Ernest T. Bass.
Just because they were first doesn't mean it's good.
Fugitive, In Living Color, 30-something, The Walking Dead at 77. Late Night with Conan at 76.
Bullshit. That should be way up there.
American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson at 75. Really? There's only like 10 episodes. Can you really put it that high? Ren and Stimpy at 74. I was not a fan of that.
Really?
Not really.
Oh, I loved it.
Transparent, Girls, Mr. Show at 71. Roseanne is all the way down at 70. That was a huge show.
It broke a lot of barriers.
I wasn't even a fan of that show, and I would acknowledge it should probably be higher than that. The Ed Sullivan Show at 69. That show had so many acts were broken on the Ed Sullivan Show, but I didn't think it was. I didn't think Ed Sullivan was great. The stuff outside of, you know, when the Beatles were on and the Stones and all the great musical acts was, there was some really stupid crap on that show. But whatever.
Plus he did acid.
Yeah, he did acid.
Unknowingly.
And did he do acid. I was hospitalized for 3 days. The State, The Odd Couple, Downton Abbey.
The State made it on there?
Yeah, 68.
That, do you know what The State is?
I'm not familiar with
The State.
The State
is a sketch comedy show from MTV with people like Michael Ian Black on it. But it that only ran for a short period of time.
Like
that
I said.
That was a great show.
I think there's bias towards newer shows on this. Just listen to the list.
4 years old, yeah.
The Odd Couple, Downton Abbey, 66. Happy Days, 65. Downton Abbey. Chappelle's Show, 64. The Wonder Years, 63.
Way higher.
I love The Wonder Years. Sex and the City, Your Show of Shows. Beavis and Butthead at 60. Hill Street Blues. Roots.
Higher.
Fawlty Towers, 24 at 56. 6 Feet Under at 55.
Oh, that should be way higher. You like 6 Feet
It was a fantastic show. It was. The final episode, I thought, was one of the greatest episodes I've ever seen of any television show.
I still think it's the best pilot and best finale of any series ever.
The Muppet Show at 54.
Sweet.
The Bob Newhart Show. The Colbert Report. Fargo. Fargo.
Where was Fargo?
Really? 51.
You know what I think about Fargo.
I know you love Fargo.
It's number two on my list all time.
ER, Taxi, The Office. The U.S. Office is only 48. I love that show.
So, do you like Parks and Rec better, though?
I kind of have come around to Parks and Rec,
mm-hmm.
but it's funny, you know, like if I saw them both running reruns, I'd probably watch the Parks and Rec rerun,
yeah.
which is funny, but I probably would, even though I liked The Office better when it was on, but I was really starting to grow. Parks and Rec was really growing on me as yeah. it got towards the end. Rockford Files, Mary Tyler Moore Show. I thought it was so overrated. People just... love Mary Tyler Moore, and it just goes rave.
Remember
rave,
that
rave.
Scene where they were all shuffling together to get the Kleenex because they were saying goodbye? They're on the group hug.
Stupid. Battlestar Galactica, Columbo, The Americans is 43.
Great show.
NYPD Blue 42. The Honeymooners at 41. I love The Honeymooners. I watched it. There's some very strange circumstances one night.
Oh, really? Nice.
Oh, was it wild?
I think it might have freaked me out.
It did freak me out because the character seemed so big. I mean, because Ralph Cramden was, or Jackie Gleason was huge. I remember just being, and when his eyes go, his eyes would like pop out of his head when he's mad at Alice or Ed.
It would have been funny if you had this revelation while watching going, this is just like the Flintstones.
The Shield, Lost at 39. Yeah. Hate that show.
I've really grown to despise.
I know, I'm so pissed at that show. Buffy the Vampire Slayer at 38. Really? Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Josh Whedon. Yeah, I get it. I'm not nuts about it. It's a little high.
Orange is the New Black at 37.
Meh.
Meh. I totally agree. I binge watched that show, and I still couldn't get into it.
Okay. Can we take a break, real quick break?
Yeah.
Remember yesterday you mentioned something about Sami?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about that. I listened to the show this morning. I was like, damn it, I forgot this about Sami. Because anything about Sami, I want to know
this
immediately.
This is why I'm interrupting you, because I didn't want to forget it.
Sami, we should point out, in case anyone's a new listener.
A-B-C-D-E-F-G.
There was a family in Canada that were being tortured by some technological wizardry. Someone that was entering their TV, playing with their lights, turning them on and off at the strangest times. And they had experts come into the house, including one guy with this electronic object.
Yes. Yes.
Hilarious, this black dude who Mike Clark actually got. Remember when Mike got to be buddies with that guy?
Well, he's the one guy that saw through it. He's like, man.
Yeah, he said it's in the house. It's in the house. It might be a teenager. He even said that. And they were so mad. And the kid would make phony phone calls to him and be like, A-B-C-D-E-F-G. And they couldn't figure out,
who is this person with this scary voice?
They thought he had like a box that he put on his phone and dialed into the house.
He was breathing in while he talked. It was the 15-year-old son!
Who was picking up the extension and turning off the circuit breakers. So anyway, I started watching Stranger Things. And I kept laughing throughout, and I finally just went, this is clearly just Sami. Every time that lady when Winona Ryder talked on the phone, I'm like, Sami just zapped her. And I just kept laughing through watching this show, this idea that Sami is really the star in the twist of Stranger Things.
And what was even funnier, I think maybe the funniest thing about the whole deal was he said his name was Sami at one time, and they're like, Sami, Sami? No one ever could quite figure it out. Is he took it the name of the dog on Home Improvement?
Yes, that's my favorite story. It's so cool. Did you like Stranger Things?
Yeah, I did.
You did? Okay.
I was so happy to see Winona Ryder in anything. Yeah, I love Winona Ryder.
I'm only two episodes in, but it's pretty intriguing.
It's okay. The story gets kind of crazy. It gets very crazy. But I thought the story and the kids and stuff, I thought the kids were really good in that show. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Very.
It's hard for kids to be good, in my opinion. Anyway, where was I? Orange is the New Black at 37. Law and Order 36. People love that show. It's Trump's
favorite show.
Does he like Law and Order?
He loves Law and Order. Kidding. Talked about it a lot tonight.
My So-Called Life. I thought you were serious about he liked the show.
Oh, God, no.
30 Rock.
Great show.
Yeah, really good. South Park at 33. And, you know, when you hear the show that's ahead of it, I find myself going, oh, come on, but this show was really popular. I just don't even think it belongs in this list, though. I Love Lucy.
Oh, my God.
The chocolates are coming down there so fast you can't keep up.
She's stomping grapes and making wine.
Oh.
I think, once again, that's just a factor of being first.
Sesame Street, 31.
Awesome.
Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, 30. I don't like Johnny. I just never really liked Johnny.
Me neither.
And especially since I found out that he did not like rock and roll, and he specifically did not want rock acts on the show.
Yeah.
And rock and roll people, the list of rock and rollers that were on the Tonight Show playing, you could count them on one hand.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Yes. David Bowie's one of the only rock people that were ever, one of the only cool rock people ever on the Tonight Show. Beatles never played in the Tonight Show. Stones never played the Tonight Show.
How come, like, Dick Cavett couldn't, like, break into a share of what he's got? Why couldn't he take
whatever? I don't know, because Dick Cavett was younger and cooler, and, you know, and Dick Cavett had Hendrix on for a whole show. He had Bowie on for a whole show. He had John Lennon on multiple times.
Mike Douglas, why couldn't they take?
Mike Douglas wasn't hip enough. It was so bizarre that John Lennon was on the Mike Douglas show. I don't know, with Chuck Berry, too.
Beep.
Hilarious. Beep. Monty Python's Flying Circus at 29. Loved it. Oh, man, did we have fun with an elephant bong watching Monty Python episodes in high school? Yeah. The X-Files at 28.
Ugh.
Arrested Development at 27.
Phenomenal show.
Friends at 26.
Oh, God.
Please. Veep at 25. Ugh. No, come on.
Ugh.
Friday Night Lights at 24. That's really high. I love that show. I did like it, but 24? Come on. Deadwood at 23, Louie at 22.
Wow.
The UK office at 21. I agree that the UK office is higher. I loved it. Cheers at 20, Curb at 19.
Yeah.
I could almost put it higher.
It's hard to argue with many of these things.
Star Trek at 18, Twin Peaks.
Oh, 17. I love Twin Peaks.
I didn't get into it. I can't say I didn't like it because I just never got into
David
it.
David Lynch, oh, it was way ahead of its time.
Mike Clark loved it.
Great show.
MASH at 16. The West Wing at 15. Okay.
Sure.
The Larry Sanders Show at 14.
Wow.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal show.
Way ahead of its time. Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Late Night with David Letterman at 13.
Yep.
It is the highest talk show.
Hard to argue.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, 12. Freaks and Geeks, 11.
Love it. God, I love it.
Apatow. How many seasons was it on?
One.
How could it be 11 in one season?
Just that damn good. You liked it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
So
why didn't they ever bring it back?
Because it bombed when it was on.
I know, but why? But it gained this cult following. It just seems like somebody would.
Well, because those guys moved on to bigger and better things. James Franco,
and new
Seth
cast,
Rogen.
You know, maybe get some new kids or something. I don't know. All in the Family. Oh, Daily Show at 10. I don't. That's too high, in my opinion.
So, but yeah, sure.
All in the Family 9, Saturday Night Live 8.
Yeah.
The Twilight Zone at 7. That was a cool fucking show.
I never really watched it enough. Twilight,
it was really good. I mean, if you wanted to be a little scared. But I don't know about 7. I'm not sure. The Simpsons at 6.
Yeah, that's about right.
I'm totally happy about that. Seinfeld at 5. It has to be up there way high. The number 4, maybe my biggest gripe in this whole list, Mad Men.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I can never get into Mad Men.
Never. I tried. I binged watched it, and I binged watched it again, and I was really kind of with it, and I just found myself getting bored. I just couldn't. I don't know.
Julie loved that show until about the end. She thought it got a little stupid.
I liked it. I thought the storyline got dumb. I thought the storylines were kind of stupid. When they were like a 1960s ad agency, that part of it was really good.
Yeah.
And that was cool, you know. And
I watched the first 4 episodes and just went, nah.
I could even relate to it because I had 2 friends whose fathers were really successful in Leo Burnett in Chicago.
Oh, Leo Burnett, yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny.
They had the McDonald's account.
Their fathers were so much alike. My friend Alex's dad had the Schlitz account.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, and he traveled all over the world for that account.
Cool.
Yeah. They moved to England for a while.
Really?
Yeah, and not because of Schlitz. It was something else. Ooh! Boat!
What's 3?
Alex, part of the Triple Threat Trio, by the way. Alex, Johnny.
I met him, right?
Yeah, you met Alec. Breaking Bad, number 3.
I still should be number 1.
The Wire, number 2.
Yeah.
You know what number 1 is?
Sopranos.
Yep. Sopranos.
That's just because it was one of the first HBO ones.
I could have gone with Seinfeld 1.
No Big Love on that list, huh?
No.
No Mr. Show on that list?
Yeah, Mr. Show was 70.
Oh, it was?
71. Okay. 71.
No Kids in the Hall?
No Kids in the Hall. No, that should be on here.
That should be top 10.
Absolutely be on here. I don't know about top 10, but it should be on here.
Top 10.
Okay. The energy to argue.
Oh, man, I love that list. I love TV.
I know, I do too.
TV's the best.
I love TV. God, I love TV.
You should start watching Mr. Robot. I think you might like it.
When's it on?
Well,
I take baskets. I've got 2 or 3 baskets recorded.
Have you watched any of them?
No, I haven't. I'm dying to watch it.
Watch them in order. It's so good. Watch Baskets first and then watch Mr. Robot. I think you'll like Mr. Robot. Jay, you'll really like Mr. Robot. Have you watched it?
No.
You'll like it, being a computer guy.
Did you happen to hear the story about the Rosa Parks Detroit home?
No. What?
It is being torn down and sent to...
The Henry Ford?
No. To Europe.
What?
Yeah, some guy in Europe bought it and is having it torn down.
Wait.
He claims that
Is he an artist?
No, I think he's like a history guy, kind of person. The project is led by American artist Ryan Mendoza, who's been living in Europe for the last 20 years, courted controversy in Detroit with a provocative restyling this summer of 2 abandoned Detroit homes so they would display the names of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton through fake bullet holes at night.
Yeah, that's the artist guy.
He said he was approached by, I think this is the woman who was maybe owned the house or whatever. She wanted to help preserve the home and had not found a financial backer. Parks became an international civil rights champion. We know all that. When she left Detroit and came to Detroit, she first settled at the home on South Deacon Street. McCauley said, told the audience that he sees the showings in Europe as both a way to honor the home and a statement about the lack of interest in preserving the home in the city where it actually existed. What I would like to do is hold the house hostage. America, you lost this house. The house is held hostage until you get it.
Okay. Go ahead, do that.
And it's going to cost you. And I want that money to go to the Rosa Parks Foundation. So good luck with that, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to spend a lot bringing it back. Sorry.
Wow, here's a crazy story that just popped up. Remember the Michigan murders?
Yes.
John Norman Collins?
Yeah, there's a new book about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was speaking Sunday. I wanted to see that, but during football games, I don't think so.
Greg Fournier?
Yeah. In fact, he's made himself, didn't we have a chance to interview him, Jay? The guy that wrote the new book on the Michigan murders?
That's the first true crime book I ever read.
I don't think we reached out to him yet.
Wow.
Because you got NoFX.
I don't think he sent the book. He was going to send us the book, I think, and I don't think he did.
Okay.
Because we got the porn book, we got the Elvis book. NoFX. Did you ever try the Beach Boys? You did? Okay.
Yeah,
any hope of getting that?
Just waiting on them to...
That's it. By the way, Mike Love's book is really good. He does not leave anything out.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really been interesting, though, is that I know the Beach Boys catalog fairly well, but there's a lot of the Beach Boys catalog I didn't know that well. And so he's pointing out some really great songs that Brian did. And I go on YouTube and listen to him. And I'm like, wow, this guy. I mean, I knew Brian Wilson was a relative genius musically, but I just didn't know his complete catalog. I didn't know it that well. And so I'm hearing some really cool stuff. But Brian, I did not realize he did so much acid. Isn't he was doing a hit of acid every day.
Isn't that what fried him, though?
Yeah, I just didn't realize it went
that way. Dr. Landy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That went on. No. That was before Dr. Landy.
Okay.
That went on, the one acid trip a day went on for a couple years.
Yeah, boy.
Years.
It's a lot of acid to be taking.
Yeah, every day. I mean, that's madness. And, you know, he was starting to enter his writing a little bit, and they had to. So Mike Love had to go, Brian, I think we want to make this a little more relatable, a little less acidy, a little
too
more.
Too bad Murray wasn't around to straighten him out.
Murray. I know. I keep looking for more Murray material, and there's plenty.
Come on, fellas.
I know there's more.
Too big?
Oh, God, I know. What an ass. Boy, he really screwed Mike, too, because, you know, I told you the songwriting credits for California Girls. When it came out, and Mike got the acetate, he's like, hey, my name's not in the credits. What's going on here? And Brian's like, oh, I know. We just made a mistake. We'll fix it. It took 40 years for him. He had to sue to get his royalties.
Speaking of drugs, you see what NFL player, or I guess you could say former NFL player, was busted for buying cocaine?
No, who?
It's a guy that was in the news a lot about a year and a half ago. Actually, about 2 years ago.
The running back that beat up his wife?
Close. You're close, not Ray Rice. You're getting close, though. Another guy that was in the news a lot. Probably the biggest asshole of all.
Oh, the rapist?
Greg Hardy.
Oh, Greg Hardy got busted for
the former
coke.
Panther and Cowboy. Oh,
can they just throw him out of the league now?
God, I wonder if they could. I wonder what the union's deal is with that.
He is such a complete asshole. I mean, even after all that, he was still a dick.
Yep. So I think it's going to be hard for him to catch on with the team now.
Yeah, but he's still very talented. Somebody will probably pick him up.
Oh, come on.
Because he's good.
I think so, really?
He's a good player.
Do you want him on your team?
No, I wouldn't. But I bet you somebody signs him.
He was an asshole even with Dallas. Remember he got in fights with the teammates?
No,
there?
Absolutely. No, he's a complete jerk.
Other football news, Tom Brady, you want to see him nude? The tabloids caught him sunbathing nude.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
In Rome.
Get over yourself, Brady.
It's one of those long-distance cameras. Here he is, nude.
Oh, God. Is he hung?
Come check him out.
More than 7 inches?
Can't see his dong. I think he might know that he's being photographed. See him there?
Oh,
and then here's the next shot. Oh, there's his butt crack.
It looks like he's posing for the ESPN, the body issue.
But he is strategically hiding his wiener.
Yeah, he is.
He knows.
He's got a small wiener. Obviously.
Probably. Ooh, there's Giselle. Nice.
You know, Grand Rapids has this big contest to find the best piece of art.
They do?
Yeah, they do. Every year they do, and I think the winner gets $250,000. They display it publicly. It's kind of a big deal in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
Anyway, the winner was Rusty Sputnik 2. It's The Well, Rusty Sputnik 2. And there's a little explanation about it in here. One of Detroit's best known contemporary artists. Insulation, Secrets of Nature, and appearance. What do I say about the new one? Hold on, sorry.
It's funny as I followed everything you were saying.
This year he teams up again with Site. He's occupying a vacant city block outside the main competition's entry. The Well Rusty Sputnik 2 is a sculptural installation built from the ruins of the structure once occupying its site in the image of a resting Sputnik 2 spacecraft. Whether it landed gently or violently will be for the viewer to decide. Look at Rusty Sputnik 2 and tell me what the fuck it is.
Looks like a cocoon.
It didn't look like any spacecraft to me.
No, it's made out of wood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, no space. Come on.
Burn on reentry.
Yeah. Not made out. Anybody knows that. Wait, that's what, one?
That one. I know. It looks like something very hastily put together to me.
Honestly, I probably could have made that, right?
Sort of what I said.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to enter the contest next year and win. That's an easy $250,000, isn't it?
Just make Rusty Sputnik 3 and just do the same thing, but out of some space-age polymer. Right?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, we'll make it look like a real spaceship.
Oh, here's more pictures of it. Oh, my God. No, this is not art. This just looks like a cool treehouse.
Yeah, what? How did that win? Is the competition just crappy this year?
Wow. It's repurposed materials from a former carriage house.
Whatever.
Well, maybe they only had one entry.
no, they didn't, because there's a second place. Oh. So I know they had more than one.
God, how bad is second place?
It's right next to it in the picture there.
Is it the pile of plates or whatever?
Yeah, yes, yes. That's
all
it.
Right, they made the right choice.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yesterday I was going to get into the Jim Carrey thing. We're kind of running out of time, but I'll just kind of maybe just slightly get into this because I'm so appalled by this story. Mm-hmm. Have you read much about it?
A little bit here and there. The lawsuit with the estranged ex-husband.
Yes.
Sounds like it's just out to smear Jim Carrey. I mean, but he doesn't come across as the best person anyway.
It sounds like it's for the most part true based on text messages of hers that are in here. You know, she's talking about how she's damaged goods because he gave her 3 sexually transmitted diseases, including this. Yeah. I know. Really? It's so bad. And he is so cold. I mean, he is a cold motherfucker.
I'm not surprised.
He is trying to get her to sign something that she won't sue him.
Yeah.
And I think it's
like
about
a non-disclosure or something.
Yeah, something like that. And it's as he's breaking up with her.
Hmm. That's pretty cold, especially, I mean, he knew that she had mental problems, allegedly. I mean, it was pretty obvious that she had had them for a while, correct?
Oh, yeah. And then he just very calmly tells her, she's talking about the fact that she's got this medical information. She's so upset. I won't be able to have another relationship. I'm hurting more than anything right now. And then, I mean, it's really sad, really upset person is, you know, confiding in him. And yeah. He says, "Kay, don't want to talk anymore. Deal with Linda. I'm done. You've become too much drama. Keep in mind the things I'm doing are out of kindness. They're not obligations." He means the stuff he's doing for her, like financially, I think. "I don't wish to talk anymore." Huh?
Done with her. They're breaking up.
I don't know. I thought it was really pretty brutal.
It's incredibly cold, but does it seem colder because she has killed herself?
He gave her 3 STDs, and she's telling him that she feels that she's damaged goods and she doesn't feel like she can find anyone. She's so embarrassed. And he's like, "Kate, don't talk anymore. Deal with Linda. I'm done. You become too much drama."
It's totally cold. But what's he supposed to say?
"I'm sorry."
That's admitting guilt. No, Drew, are you surprised that he's that cold?
Yeah,
not.
I am.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Really?
Yeah, I am. I don't care if he's a star. He's still a human being.
It's like he's Hank from Me, Myself, and Irene.
Then after another...
That's the true Jim Carrey.
Hank. I love
Isn't that his name, the bad
Yeah,
version?
Whenever you comes Hank, I love that part of the movie.
So does Jim.
Of course. There's another, you know, another part where she's similar. She's really upset. "I'm depressed. You know, I really miss you. I try to give you my best self." And, you know, she's sort of implying that she's not ready to give up. And it's like, "Kat, I've been way too generous and patient with you. I don't know what you're up to, but I don't think I want to help you anymore." What?
That's tough, though. What do you say to someone like that and you're trying to break up with them?
I don't know.
Sorry.
It sure seems like the STDs have a lot to do with his breakup because he immediately comes out with this sign the papers thing.
Yeah, that's odd.
Yeah.
He lives in a different world, man, because he's got so much money.
And then he... Yeah. And then...
what a jerk.
Then he sends this text after she died, you know, saying, "Yeah, I think you guys took some of my pills. They were under the medicine cabinet." And it's like, oh, dude, God, you are pathetic.
Are you surprised that we haven't heard anything about the pharmacy that prescribed him and put him under a fake name?
Yeah, I am surprised.
I would think they would be freaked out.
you know, it seems almost like in California that's just standard operating procedure. Because remember, Michael Jackson got all that junk in the wrong names, and they just go, well, this is how celebrities do it. And,
but is that legal?
No, it's not legal. Oh, no way.
Okay, well, then go after them.
Yeah, I'm really surprised because they sure go after anybody else.
Yeah. They probably have a big lobbying group.
I think, yeah. I think part of my sympathy is because this girl's so hot.
She's beautiful.
And she's so
and she was troubled
depressed.
And tortured. Yeah.
It's like I want to nurse her back to health.
Yeah.
Except I don't want her fucking diseases, would've. Though.
I know. Did you gross. Really want Jim Carrey's STD?
Oh,
it'd God. Be a wacky version of chlamydia.
Oh, one other funny thing. I,
you know, it'd be making all kinds
there's
of
one
faces.
One other funny, not funny thing at all I have you to get, tell you about this.
You'd get crabs from them, and they'd be making wacky faces at you.
Covering their little eyes.
Yeah.
At one point, she's getting herpes is breaking out.
Oh, boy.
And she says, yeah, there are these bumps, and they're kind of weird looking. And he's like, oh, those are just friction bruises. That's nothing, you know. Nothing to worry about.
Friction bruises?
Because he's fucking her so hard.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I'm surprised he just didn't reply with a meme of himself from The Mask that said, smoking. He just replied with just lines from his movies. Memes. Jim Carrey memes.
There's a long letter that she wrote to him. And it's funny. I just when I was feeling all sorry for her and like, oh, she's so cute, and wouldn't you like to help this poor girl? And, you know, Jim is so cold. Then I started reading her letter. You know, it's like,
yeah.
And I was like spacing out within two lines of it, like, oh, God, who could listen to this? Who could read this? I started to understand a little bit better. It's been a couple of days since I said I would reply. I keep saying that all right, but I don't want to remember or think about it.
Sir.
But there is a lot that I want to say. Don't turn my mic down. Some of which you might not want to hear, but I feel like this is the only chance I have left to get closure.
Oh,
so I'll start
wow.
with the hardest part and unanswered. Everything that has just been done, I feel like I went through it for nothing. I didn't get out of it what I needed and I wanted. What I was told I would get. I'm not talking about money. If my lawyer had his way, we would be going to court. But I had to put a stop to it. Good girl. For this, that's where he lost interest in the letter, I think.
Oh, yeah.
For what would I be going to court for only and get more money? And I would never get what I really wanted. It would be a bloodbath between lawyers, getting further and further away from the point and the truth. I wanted an apology to be acknowledged and respect be enough to take responsibility to say, I gave you this intentional or not. I gave it to you. I understand it had this is something that will affect you for the rest of your life, your future relationships. What can make this right? Instead of that, I was disrespected, degraded, called a whore, an opportunist, threatened, our relationship belittled, even had that girl straight up lie in a letter under oath. Oh, I don't know who that girl is.
What?
I don't know. And I really don't think you could see. Like, it's not...
It's probably Einhorn.
It's not an issue to you. I'm just an ungrateful bitch who's done so much... you've done so much for, and I took advantage. That simply is not true. God, can you see that? Can you see how much I have for you? Let me try. I'm not very good at articulating how I feel. This has been really changed my life forever. I'm 27 years old, and all that was left of me was a shell and damaged one at that. Picking myself back up emotionally and mentally. Oh, boy, this is what a...
Oh, righty then. That was his response.
This is some high maintenance. Picking myself back up emotionally and mentally is one big thing. People have had bad experiences and breakups. It's bad, but with time they move on. Meet someone new, start over. Add in disease. How does someone move on and meet someone new? I'm damaged. I'm disgusting. When I shower, I feel sick.
Ew.
Getting turned on. What's that? Definitely not something that happens to me anymore.
Yikes.
I will always be damaged. Oh, she is damaged goods then, for sure.
We landed on the moon! I was trying to think of his other big quotes.
I will always be damaged goods. Ooh, boy, I have a stigma attached, so I have to accept something I was always afraid of, being alone, being abandoned and alone. This is getting.
Well, fun. After all, he is. What was his character's name in Burt Wonderstone? What show? What was it called?
The Brain Rapist.
Brain Rapist. So he says, "Well, I'm the Brain Rapist."
You know, the only thing this is so like high maintenance, chicky, you know, sad chick
she's
stuff.
Sick,
but
though.
She is like about to kill herself. That's the part
she's
that I couldn't
ill,
quite get
man,
over. Yeah, she's ill. She
nobody
is.
Recognizes that illness, mental illness in this country.
Is what I want to say, but I had to get that out of the way first, and maybe you can understand, maybe you never will. There's so much I'm grateful for, but this part will never be okay. I can still forgive, but you need to understand first. So, do you suppose he didn't apologize because he didn't want to acknowledge?
Yes.
He couldn't acknowledge legally what he did?
I think I'm sure it's part of it.
I'm sorry that we were both, gosh, it's not over. I'm sorry that we were both left wounded. I love you very much, Jim. You will always be in my heart. I know I should have said something different, but this is what came out. I do wish you very well. For what I said for the first part of the letter, I would like, but don't expect acknowledgement. Be good to yourself. Always have you in my heart and love for you. I pray that you are content and have peace
fake.
In your life and in your soul. I know.
Fake.
Your dewdrop.
She doesn't pray for any of that.
And this thing about him saying he would pay for the funeral is true. He said he was going to pay for the funeral.
Yeah.
And then he found out she left, I don't know, I don't think it was a lot of money, but she left some money to her family.
So did he withdraw his offer? Did the family just pay for it and he just never paid
He just
them?
Never inquired about it yeah. and they didn't know how to get a hold okay. of him and so they just paid for it.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing is he took credit for paying for it. I mean, it was in the media
Oops.
That he paid for the funeral. Wow. Jim Carrey was kind enough to cover all the funeral expenses, and so they were livid when they read that because they figured he had told the media somehow, and I guess he told enough people that somehow it just came out.
Oops.
Yeah, and they want to bill him for the cost of the funeral. They do. Oh,
that'll hold up.
I'm not kidding.
That'll really hold up.
Oh, well, I think they're just trying to embarrass him so he'll pay for it.
Well, that damage is done. I mean, That's happened.
And you know what? When this girl killed herself, she packed up. Her husband had a lot of stuff that was still in her house.
Uh-huh.
She packed up all his stuff and organized it into a couple bags and left it there.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And Jim's things are all in one trunk, I guess. Hmm. But like in a very organized fashion. So everything was sort of done.
She knew she was doing it.
Yep. How weird.
Ugh.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
guys!
I love this movie. I love Dumb and Dumber. It's so
hey,
funny.
Can you find the scene from Dumb and Dumber 2 when they're riding in the car, the fart game? Do you remember that?
Yes.
That Dumb and Dumber 2 is underrated, I think.
I know, I've watched it over like two or three times.
I'll just catch it when it's on.
I think it's a really bad rap. It just wasn't as funny as the first, and so people just, I don't think they gave it.
You guys want to play He Who Smelt It?
What's that?
It's complicated, so pay attention. We put the windows up. First one who smells a fart gets a point. If you say who dealt it, double points.
But if you say you smelled a fart and nobody farted, like if we were just passing a slaughterhouse.
False fart.
You
False
lose a point. Fart. And you can't smell your own farts either.
What, are you guys kidding? No. No. I'm not going to sit around sniffing your guys' farts like some kind of truffle pig. Forget it.
Okay, fine. Lloyd and I will play one-on-one.
Yeah, head-to-head.
How can you play one-on-one? If you smell a fart and you didn't do it, isn't it obvious the other guy did?
I thought you said you never played before.
Yeah,
sounds like he wrote the rule book. I think we might have a hustler here. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I forgot.
All right, you know what? I'm going to make a rule. There will be no fart games while I'm in the car. Got it?
Wow. Who made you king of the car?
All right, I know how to settle this. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 3. Whoever guesses it gets to be king of the car.
1.
No.
3?
Nope.
Okay, what is it?
2.
Where? I was going to say that!
All right, so it's agreed. I'm king of the car, right?
Fine. Excuse me, Your Highness. Would you mind grabbing me a Slim Jim out of the back? One of the long ones.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, what the hell? What the? Oh, God, right, no!
Ah! Oh! What is this? Oh, God! Oh!
Look, Harry. He's hooked on crack.
Son of a God!
Jeff Daniels sitting in his car smelling your farts like a truffle pig.
Jeff Daniels looks so happy.
Oh.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Debate number one is over. When is debate number two, by the way?
I don't know. That one was exhausting enough.
It was, I agree. But I'd like to see another one because I think it'd be interesting to see when Trump, now that he kind of screwed up the first one, see if he can pick himself up.
Is that kind of what you expected out of the first one?
Yeah, kind of. I did. Yeah, too. I think so.
People thought there'd be fireworks or whatever. I don't know.
I think when he starts hearing that she battered him, that she that side of him will come out and he'll have to wail on her.
I think you're right.
All right, so have a good one, everybody. We'll see ya. Oh, wait, one thing. Ryan's doing a story on us.
Oh, that's right.
Tuesday, which is today when you're listening to this.
Could be right now.
Yeah, it could be in the 9 o'clock hour. It probably is in the 9 o'clock hour, in fact, and in the 6 o'clock hour, too, I believe.
Really? Oh, okay. Say at night, 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, 6 at night, and on the 9, allegedly. But who knows? It could be any time on Fox 2. It'll be on the website, though, if you don't get a chance to see it. So, everyone gather around the television and watch Fox 2. And
send a snarky comment.
See the story about this. Yeah, send a comment, but definitely make it apparent that you watched it on purpose because you were so excited about the subject. So there. Second debate is October 4th, okay. That's a Tuesday, so that would be in... That's 1 week, right?
Wow.
That's a week. Wow, better get prepping, Donald. So, hey, check us out in Fox 2, and we'll see ya!